Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would...
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight on Women Patriots. Billy, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Do I have an echo?
No, I don't hear one.
Okay. I've got an echo back at me. I don't know where that came from. Something was wrong with the beginning of the show there. It didn't give us our blog talk, and then it didn't go into our opening song. So I don't know what's up with that, but I guess we'll be okay. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. We're going to be doing some live election results tonight, along with just general talking about what's going on in the news and what's going on with the different candidates and everything. This is Brenda Ward, and my co-host is Billy Cotter. And it's just kind of interesting, some of the things coming out in the news today. There were polls coming out of Mississippi that was showing that a majority of the people in Mississippi actually thought that or think that President Obama is a Muslim. And there's some guy out there trying to blame this on Sarah Palin for some reason. I have no idea. I guess when all else fails, you blame Sarah Palin. But I was researching this just a little bit because, you know, why do people think he's a Muslim other than, I mean, his recent actions have all been seemingly pro-Muslim versus Christian. But why else, you know, what else is going on that we don't know about? And I was just kind of looking back into his background because, you know, I did research this quite a bit. And Billy, you're not hearing an echo?
Nope, no echo.
For some reason, I'm hearing one. So if anybody out there else is hearing one, let us know. But okay, I'll just have to live with it on my end because I have no idea where it's coming from. But interesting enough, Obama, why is he slips on TV talking to, you know, George Stephanopoulos and whatever, like Snuffleupagus. I don't know how to say his name, but anyway.
Stephanopoulos.
It's okay.
Greek.
Oh, I guess I was close. Okay. Well, anyway, they were having this conversation, okay? And in this exchange, Obama was accusing, you know, the Republicans of spreading lies that he was a Muslim, which we'll get into in a little bit. And he tried to say McCain was doing it, but McCain had condemned those accusations. But what was interesting is that while he was speaking to Stephanopoulos, President Obama says, my Muslim faith. And then Stephanopoulos actually had to correct him on that. And, you know, I find that interesting in the fact that if that's not in your head, why do you make that? That's a Freudian slip as far as in my book is what
well,
I would
think. Well, this is something that, remember Todd, you brought up on Obamanation the other day? That makes a lot of sense. And not only does it make sense, it's something that a lot of people are asking about, you know. See, the thing is, the rule, if ever you were a Muslim, there's always a fatwa on your head. It's a warrant for your death, basically, is what it's called. So the thing is, when you research fatwas out there, you find out there's no fatwa on President Obama's head, although he once was a Muslim. And he supposedly converted to a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, this is where people really get confused, is they also know that there is a rule in the Muslim faith that you have the right. It's a God-given right to lie if it's in order to progress the Islamic faith. So you can lie and say you converted as a Christian and really not convert, just go through the motions of it. And you're really a Muslim, because what has he been doing ever since the very first day he got in office? He's been promoting the Islamic faith and trying to add progress to it. He's been taking, you know, he's been basically giving the word that Egypt had a bad dictator who was one that actually was in line to have peace with Israel. Well, that's a bad dictator. I'm sorry, any dictator's bad. But as long as he had faith or peace with Israel, I found him to be a pretty decent human being. Same with Gaddafi. They both had this peace treaty with Israel. Now both of them are down. And it's an Islamic-ruled country now. And they are right now basically debating whether they're going to keep that peace treaty with Israel or not. But all the signs show that they're not. They are Islam, and they have hatred for Jews, and they have hatred for Christians. So it's just something that a lot of people are questioning his faith, because Syria, a deeply Muslim country that really doesn't have very much of a Christian population like Egypt did, like Libya did, they have their war going on, and he's sitting by twiddling his thumbs, basically, according to the way that it looks, you know?
Right.
He's not condemning it so much. He's, you know,
well,
by just saying it.
He opened an embassy there and actually was, you know, promoting things there when we didn't have a good relationship there, and it should have never happened. So just those kind of things. But, you know, also, as you look into his records, he says he was never a Muslim. However, when he was a child, he lived in Indonesia and went to a school where he practiced. Well, maybe he didn't practice Muslim, but he learned to say all the prayers and everything.
No,
in
his
Arabic.
School records, literally, if you look up his school records from that school in Indonesia and you look under faith, it says Muslim.
Right. But he was a child. So, you know, he didn't. I guess you don't actually get to pick that because you only lived there till he was 10. So, you
well,
know,
I might give him
a benefit of the doubt there. However, it's interesting that he goes on to try to defend himself. He acknowledges in the dreams from my father that he studied the Quran, described his public school as a Muslim school, and that people tell that he actually he studied the Menagerie, or the recitation of the Quran.
Well, this is another thing, though. When they do the call to prayer,
yes,
which he says is the most beautiful sound in the world,
yes,
only Muslims are able to hear it. They don't let Christians hear it. They don't let other people hear it, and he says that's the most beautiful sound he's ever heard. Plus, when he went to visit India, I think maybe it was Egypt, he went in and did all the calls to prayer. He kneeled, he took off his shoes, you know, they have video coverage of it.
Right, which I think, and actually, if you go back and look, it was Hillary Clinton in 2008 who posted those pictures, and they're trying to blame Kaylin today. And that's why I kind of brought it up, because I thought we needed to kind of discuss this, because people it wasn't Sarah Palin and it wasn't John McCain. It was actually Hillary Clinton, because, you know, he was wearing the sarong and this type of thing. But, you know, you also find interesting, if you go back, and he says that his mother was a Christian, but those who knew her say she was an atheist. So, you know, there's so many contradictions in the statements that it is it any wonder that people wonder, you know, about his faith?
Yeah.
He sure has not demonstrated his Christian faith in all of his actions that he's taken, nor, you know, even in his past statements.
We have a caller at 502. I think it might be Rick.
Okay, well, why don't you bring them, go ahead and let's bring them on the air.
Hey, who do I have at 502?
Danny Shales.
Well,
oh, hey,
Danny.
That's who it is.
How are you today?
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I'm not sure when the polls are closing. I don't think they're closed yet in Alabama and Mississippi. My thing said Central Time for them, and I don't even know when Central Time is actually now, because we changed times. Do they change? I don't think they change. I think we change. But maybe in an hour, is that what that is, or does anybody know?
No, it's 8 o'clock, or it's 7 o'clock here, though. Yeah, so if it's at 8 o'clock that they close polls.
Well, it's 8 o'clock here. We just had to put our clocks forward, so we actually switched times, which just totally confused me. And then when I set up the program, it was really strange. Well, hey, Danny, we were just kind of talking about
the polls close at 9 your time.
Okay, so that works. We were just talking about how, you know, so many people in Mississippi and Alabama believe that Obama is a Muslim, and how there's a senator out there. He's actually trying to blame this on Sarah Palin, which is just, I mean, some people are going to believe this, actually. This is what's
it's
bad.
It's a desperate ploy.
You think? What do you say about that, Danny?
Well, yeah, it couldn't be by Obama's actions. I mean, it has to be somebody else's fault. I'm surprised it's not Bush's fault.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But, and I think he does protest too much. When you have to keep saying, I'm a Christian, that's a lot of protesting. In fact, when he has these, like we were talking about his Freudian slip he had when he was talking to George Stephanopoulos, you know, if you're a Christian all your life, you don't make those kind of slips about your faith. You know, it just doesn't happen. And he was talking about how his mother was a Christian, and yet most of the people who knew her would describe her as a agnostic or atheist, so she didn't have a Christian faith. In fact, if you actually look at it, he didn't actually become a Christian until in Chicago, when somebody pointed out to him that, you know, he needed to be going to church, and that's when he joined church there with, you know, in Chicago, and Reverend Wright comes into the picture, which is a whole other story. Hey guys, we have another caller at 239. Let's see who we have there. Who do we have at 239?
Hey Brenda, hey Ben and Billy, this is Rick.
Hi Rick, how are you tonight?
Doing all right. And by the way, the polls are closed now.
Oh, they are closed now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm not.
So
I'm
it's
not...
Mississippi, Hawaii, and Alabama.
Yes.
Mississippi
Hawaii,
and Alabama.
Hawaii will be later because they're, I don't know, one.
Yeah, Hawaii closes, I think around 11 o'clock or midnight, because they're out in the
middle of the ocean.
They're way out in the Pacific.
So, are you guys getting anything yet? I don't have anything popping yet on my screen.
I don't have anything at all.
On my tweet deck, it said that it was too close to call. And I think I had seen somewhere that it was. I think in one of the states it said that Romney was first, Gingrich second.
Okay, well, I'm just getting a tweet here from the public policy polling that says, if current exits are right, Santorum is outperforming all pre-election polls in Alabama and Mississippi. So this could be interesting. We'll see what happens as it progresses.
Yeah, they've got too few polls for Real Clear Politics to really average, they said.
Well, this is the exit polling from today. that they're saying, if the current exits are right. So, but yeah, they didn't be pre-election. We didn't have a whole lot of polls. They were like, you were getting one where Romney was ahead, and you had one where Newt was ahead, and you had one where they were tied. And so going in, it was anybody's ball game, I think, because nobody actually really knew.
No, they are close.
Wall Street Journal saying exit polls show Romney leading in Mississippi, followed by Santorum and Gingrich. And Alabama, Santorum in the lead.
Okay. Well, you know what? Also, they have Mississippi is a it's an open primary, and I think Alabama might be too. And I believe I saw where in Alabama 80% of them were evangelicals that were out voting. But in Mississippi, you had some independents and Democrats also voting today. So that could be why the numbers are as they are. But we'll see how this progresses as the evening goes on. Should be pretty interesting. Hey, Rick, we were just discussing the Obama and the Muslim issue because I was seeing articles today that where somebody was trying to blame Palin for that rumor, supposedly, that started.
Yeah, well, actually, funny thing about that is the fact that I had read somewhere that Palin knew about it back in 08 and wanted to bring it up, but it was actually one of McCain's spokespeople that said no.
Yeah. For some reason, John McCain didn't want to attack Obama, which doesn't make any sense, because if you're playing to win, you have to go after your opponents. It's not like you sit on the bench and say,
That's one of the things that those people who did not go out to the polls at all, who didn't vote for McCain, that's one of the reasons why. I mean, no, there's no doubt that people like McCain don't want to, you know, they don't want to entertain the extreme part of the base. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't believe he's a citizen or believe he's a Muslim, those extremists are not going to vote. Now, the thing is, and there's, you know, there's questions in absolutely everyone's mind. Why? Because he was never vetted. Everyone has at least a little bit of doubt. And there's a lot of people who, even with their doubts, say, we really could care less.
Yes.
You know, if he were or were not born on Mars, it doesn't matter. If he is or isn't a Muslim, it doesn't matter to us. So those people didn't care and were going to vote whichever way they wanted. The people who do care, the ones who wanted actual due diligence and jurisprudence done on these, these issues, which we deserve as American citizens, we do.
Yes.
We deserve to have everything out there, transparency.
Oh, yeah.
This administration has none. There's been no transparency whatsoever, and for them to even declare it is total disgusting to me. They have said today, the DOJ is saying how transparent they are, yet everything that's been asked for of them has been denied.
And actually, the same thing with Obama. All he's got to do to silence the questions and the people is to release his documents.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't release them, you know, like his
passport. Oh, he did. That's just it. He did. He released a fake birth certificate.
Yes, but, you know, but his passport and his Occidental College records and his he hasn't released any of those things that would actually settle the question once and for all. And this is why people are suspicious, because if you've got nothing to hide, you lay it out on the table. And he has not done that. You know, he has not done that. And he didn't even release a birth certificate until Donald Trump called for one this year. And then go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, there was something that I had listened to on the radio yesterday, and I had tried to access the website yesterday, and it didn't work, and apparently it's not working now, but I did find it, in the Google Archives, is a mosaic, Obama, Islam, Communism. Basically just saying that to understand the real person behind that endearing facade is to know every segment of his life and look at him as a mosaic, and there were 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Okay, right now they've got Gingrich in the lead in Alabama, just so you know. with 0.1% reporting. He's got 39.5, Romney 28.9, Santorum 21.1.
Okay.
That's the only one I have anything on it.
Starting to come up now. Does anybody know, are these proportionate delegates,
yes,
or is it winner take all?
They are all proportionate.
Okay, so everybody has a chance to come out of here with delegates out of these states.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I saw that piece, and if you put all the pieces together, like he studied Saul Alinsky, who was definitely a Marxist, and in the Alinsky philosophy, the end justifies the means. So you lie, you cheat, you do whatever you have to do to get to the means that you want to get, which is ultimate revolution. So, you know, Frank Marshall Davis was a member of the Communist Party. He was a mentor for Obama in Hawaii. That's another piece of the puzzle. Reverend White, who was very go ahead.
Not only that, but, you know, numbers 22 and 23 on this list, but very little, with no experience as a practicing attorney, Obama decides to run for state senate. He is handpicked by then state senator Alice Palmer, Democrat from Illinois, to succeed her as she runs for the U.S. Congress. Palmer wrote for the Communist Party newspaper People's Daily World and had appeared in the Soviet Union to attend the 27th Congress of the Communist Party in 1986. And then in 1995, Obama's political career for the United States Senate was launched by communist activist Alice Palmer at the home of William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, known anti-American Marxist activists and past terrorists. Obama also shared the table and worked closely with terrorist Ayers on the board of directors at the Woods Foundation.
Right, right. And Ayers, as we all know, they actually, the organization he was a part of, I forget what they were called, but they actually
Something underground.
Weather underground.
Okay, I have, coming over Twitter, we have conservative stats reporting that Santorum's at 30, Romney at 31, Newt at 29, Paul at 7% in Alabama with 1% reporting. So that's coming across Twitter. People poll Santorum's at 31%, and the Mississippi X's highest any poll has had him was 27. So this could be an interesting night, folks, as these numbers start rolling in. But anyway, yes, and anybody listening out there, we've just been kind of discussing President Obama, because this was brought up today. You know, actually in the polls in Alabama, 45% of the Republicans think he's a Muslim, and only 14% know that he's actually a Christian. And in Mississippi, 52% believe that he's a Muslim. And they call it a Muslim lie. But, you know, we wouldn't have these questions if he would just release the documents that he holds. That would clear all this up. But I think the problem is that those documents wouldn't clear it up. I think those documents would indeed torment what everybody's been saying in the news. But it was also interesting because they had Graham's son that was on there, and he refuses to say whether he thinks Obama is a Christian or not. And they were trying to pin him down the other night, and I thought this was ridiculous. Well,
you're talking about Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son?
Yes. This was just on. I was just listening to this 2 days ago, and they had him on again. And he wouldn't say that Obama was a Christian. And they were like, well, isn't that biased? Aren't you being unfair? How can you say he's not a Christian? He said, well, you know, he didn't say he wasn't a Christian. He just said he doesn't know if he's a Christian. And so they're trying to get him to say, you know, he thinks he's not a
Christian.
Personally,
you know what? Christians are all baptized. And there's records of their baptismal records. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you really want
to
prove it, then show us his baptismal records, too, I guess. I mean, if that's how people are getting to the point of, he needs to be transparent.
Right. And
you
know
how transparent he is.
And people might want to say, why does this matter? Well, it matters because of what Billy was talking about earlier and some of the beliefs of the Muslim faith. And also, it matters if he's not born in this country, because that's the major requirement for a president is that he be born a natural born citizen. And if you throw out that part of the Constitution, you have just invalidated the whole document that was created by our founding fathers. And I know,
but see, you know, there's too many arguments. You know, like, I guess people add two and two and get four out of the fact that he went to college. You have to show, you know, whether you're a foreign citizen or a American citizen to go to college. Well, the things we know is that he claimed as a foreign student, so that therefore would say you must have been a foreign citizen. And some people say, well, in other schools he claimed as an American student, but he got grants and all this other stuff and scholarships. So it's kind of the fact that we don't know, that people
right.
just keep on coming up with new theories of what it really
right.
is. And to me, I can honestly say, I really, really have to admit, I don't believe he would have become president if he were not a citizen. I think there would have been this, you know, uproar of the people more than there is of this conspiracy type ideology that, you know, I can tell you straight out, the birth certificate he put on his website was doctored. And you can tell that just by going into taking it from PDF and going into Adobe. And you only can do that kind of, or the people who know how to use those programs can do it easily, and I would say there's just a serious flaw. So if he really wanted anyone to believe it was true, he would have printed it out, scanned it in, and it wouldn't have been able to layer out in Adobe the way it does. It layers out, and you can remove the signatures. You can remove the stamp. You can remove the information. You can remove the black border around the words. You can remove those things, and that stuff can't be done with the legitimate documents. If you go to whitehouse.gov right now and you download his birth certificate, if you have the program Adobe Illustrator, you can literally pull individual pieces of it off of it. And that makes me question, why would he do that? The easiest thing to do would have been to print that out and scan
right.
it back in and put it on the website, and nobody would have been the wiser. I wouldn't have been able to pull it apart because that scanned-in document doesn't go down and break down into layers. The only thing that does is a computer document, which is what
right.
that is.
And then you have Democratic senators trying to permanently seal his records, okay? Red flags, okay, where there's smoke, you know, and there's, if it was just one smoke, I'd be tending to dismiss it. But we have all these things. We have a fake birth certificate. We have a fake draft registration. We have college records that are sealed. We have him traveling on some kind of passport, you know. And this is where it all starts adding up. Hey, we got it's still just 0.1% reporting, but at this point on the Alabama map that I'm using, has Santorum at 33.9, Mitt Romney at 28.5, and Newt Gingrich at 26.1. Not a whole lot of votes there yet, just a couple hundred coming in out of Alabama. Nothing coming out of Mississippi yet that I'm seeing for our listeners out there. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to come out tonight, guys. Anybody have a theory? Danny, what
do
you think?
I don't have any idea either. I just see, you know, I want Santorum to win. You know, I'm a big Santorum supporter.
Right.
And I know Romney spent a lot of money again down there. Gingrich is their, you know, sweetheart, so to speak. And the Southern Belle, I want to call him, but he's not a female, so I don't know what they call him down there. Sorry. But the thing is, Santorum does do one thing that the other two don't, and he contrasts President Obama in many different ways. If you look at Romney, if you really pay attention to Romney, how he talks, how he acts, how he doesn't address certain issues,
yes.
he's Obama light. He's just Obama with wearing different clothes.
And he's not comfortable talking about
Newt Gingrich
issues.
Pulls out this really, really, really extreme era of the visionary with the really weird visions, though. Going to the moon, yes, there's a lot of people, like we had Toddy the other day talking about how it makes sense to him as like a nuclear physicist type thing. But at the same time, It just, it's too weird to the majority of people out there. It's something that, you know, people are not looking at spending money to go to the moon. They're looking at not spending money, period.
Right.
So Santorum brings in that contrast of he's addressing issues that people want to hear about, regardless of what independents want to hear about. There are conservatives who do want to hear about these things.
Right.
And these are things that weren't addressed by McCain. They weren't addressed by Dole. They weren't addressed by other really, really close race losses because these people didn't go out and vote.
Right. And what they're trying to do is they're trying, it's because, you know, you've seen the backlash of the Christians, and even I was seeing this 4 years ago, I was becoming a bigot and a hater, and even in Hollywood, you have these conservatives that can't dare mention they're a conservative or they'll be blacklisted. So they're trying to make it almost criminal to be Christian in this country, and I think this is why people are drawn to Rick Santorum, because he's not afraid to stand up and say, this is what I believe, and I have a right to believe that. And he gives us a public voice that we really didn't have before, and he does it very eloquently. I mean, he doesn't condemn anybody, you know, why he's saying that. And in fact, Piers Morgan said he's a very likable man. He likes him a lot. Hey, guys, I'm seeing on Twitter things coming out like Lauderdale County, Alabama. This is actually in the northern part of Alabama, of course, close to the Tennessee border, that they got Rick Santorum at 33%, Romney at 31.3%, and Newt at 25%, Ron Paul at 9.8%. I'm also seeing from conservative stats that exit interviews show Newt voters splitting for Santorum based on electability. The question is, did enough of them do that today? So that's some of the questions we're going to be looking at tonight as we go into this. But Lauderdale County is actually the northern part of the state, so borders with Tennessee. And I actually have family down there, so I'm hoping they got out and voted today.
Yeah.
I made myself known, but, you know, it's like, I don't know. We'll see how that, we'll see how it goes as it progresses. So,
well, there was an interesting post I saw on Patriot Soldiers today by Karen O'Grady, or Karen Grady, I think her name is. And she brought up this Stalin poster. And what it says there, I don't know how many people really looked at it. It says, America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold: patriotism, morality, and spiritual life. If you
right.
undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within.
Right.
And that is like, it's like right now we see the cancer on patriotism, where they're saying patriotism is also racist.
Right.
We see how they demean morality in their abortion views. We see how they're going after Catholics and Christian values over contraception by trying to mandate them to, you know, basically denounce their own doctrine to adopt these principles in, you know, social life.
Right.
And those things are three things that if they were to make it collapse, which I don't think they ever can, too many people do take the aspect of, we have a higher power who created us. That higher power deserves respect, and we're not going to let people disrespect them.
Right.
You know? So we get out there and we get vocal about it, and we don't vote for people who won't get vocal about it. That's where Santorum comes in.
Yes. And here's the thing is that because the concentration of the more liberal parts of the country are like in California and New York and Florida, it's a different culture there. And I don't think they realize, I think they actually think they have this in the bag, because they don't realize how many conservatives there are out across this country yet, and people that aren't buying into, because they do their polling, you know, they do their polling in New York and that kind of thing. So not a whole lot of votes coming out of Alabama yet. We're looking at still 0.1% reporting, Rick Santorum at 32%, Romney at 28%, Newt at 26%, but not a whole lot of votes actually cast in those areas.
What's funny is if you look at, well, no, they changed it now. They
what?
Had, when I was looking at the map earlier, they had others above Ron Paul with
oh, really?
Actually having a percentage. They had others above Ron Paul. They had a percentage for others, but nothing for Ron Paul.
He's got 10% at this point. So, and you know, there's always going to be those Ron Paul voters, but that's a different breed all in it to itself.
Yeah, true.
I'm not real sure where they come from. So, well, we do know some of them are college kids.
Well, we do know that a lot of them are going to vote for Obama if he's not the nominee. That's
the
other thing we do know.
Yeah. So what does that make them? I don't know. But
they're
some of those
anti-war liberals that take on a fiscal perspective that he shares with them.
Yeah, and it's like it's college. So some of them are college kids, and college kids aren't really grounded as far as beliefs. But a lot of these people didn't vote. They voted either Obama or third party last year. So the Ron Paul voters are not really going to have, you know, a great effect on the election results. You know, what I kind of worry about is if there's going to be a third party run in there, which can, you know, split voters. And I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway,
well, we know Roseanne Barr is voting or is running on the green ticket, so hey, she might get some votes.
Which won't
she
be
might
any
even get some votes.
We don't really care because Roseanne Barr is not going to get any conservative votes or
moderate
or probably any Republicans, I would think.
Anyone
would
remember when she sang the national anthem?
Yes. Yes.
That was disgusting. It was like the most disgusting thing. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like she didn't even care whether she was in key or not. But, hey, Danny, are you still hanging with us?
Yeah, I'm still listening.
You're just listening? Well, jump in anytime you got something to say.
Okay. Yeah, it's Roseanne Barr and the national anthem was disgusting.
Oh, I know. You know, it's one thing when they make a mistake because they're nervous, but when you just go out there and try to butcher it, you know, that's just so disrespectful, you know, as far as...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the person who asked her to sing is the one who really should be damned for it. Because who would ever have even thought of asking the domestic goddess out there to sing the national anthem? The thing that really appalled people more than anything was just grabbing her crotch after it, you know?
Oh.
It was like, how could... I mean, why would any woman even do that as a female? I mean, I could have seen a male actually even doing that.
It's Roseanne Barr. I think she just kind of answered your own question there. So.
Well, no, seriously, though, she's still female. It doesn't mean that you expect any female to grab their crotch like that.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. It's just, oh, my gosh. Anyway, I'm rambling on basically...
Well, you know what? That's one of the ways they're trying to get to us is through our schools and through our children. It was really interesting because I saw on TV, I was watching, actually on the internet, I was watching the Duggars, and they were singing songs like we all used to sing, like, you know, this land is your land, this land is my land, and, you know, just, you know, good old American songs, you know, that we don't hear enough in our schools anymore because that's one way of breaking down our belief in our country and our patriotism is through the schools and through the children. You know, you can't say the pledge, you can't sing these songs, you know. So a lot of that plays again into what Rick Santorum says about our educational systems and how they are trying to actually indoctrinate our children, and they are. You know, that's why a lot of people are like starting to homeschool is because of that. That very reason, you know, they saw this coming and they took their kids out, which could be part of what saved, excuse me, our country, is our homeschooled children that were taken out of the public system, you know, 20 years ago or so. So when that first started coming into play, but definitely not an easy thing to do to homeschool your children, but. It definitely is your choice of curriculum, so that,
yeah.
I think that certainly helps. We got a McGillicuddy. McGillicuddy. Well, I guess we'll bring him on. We got another call coming in. Let's see who we got.
Toddy.
Hi. Who's this?
Toddy.
Hi.
Toddy.
How are you, Toddy?
Not too bad. Just I heard you say something about Ron Paul people wouldn't affect the vote much, and I have to mention that there was a time when that was very true.
Yeah.
But in the 16 to 20 whatever years he's been doing this, he's had a growing interest because, you know, the Federal Reserve thing sells well. And at this point, I mean, in some of these elections, he's taking 15 to 20% of the vote. And
yeah.
he's taking it from the other conservatives. Because,
yeah.
see, here's the thing with Ron Paul is he's got people believing that a government, a non-intrusive government is conservatism. In other words, that the libertarian model of no government is conservatism. He's trying, because he's trying to promote and transform the Republican or GOP message into a libertarian message.
Right. And that's what I keep pointing out to people is that, you know, Ron Paul is not a Republican. Anytime they start talking to me about Ron Paul is not a Republican.
He's a socialist.
Yeah. And he's it. And, you know, if you go back to the Founding Fathers, that isolationist libertarian thing doesn't work. You get drawn into the world, and so you have to learn to deal with the world around you rather than try to just ignore everything and think everything's going to be okay when you do that, because it's just not going to happen, especially in our technological times that we have. They couldn't do it in 1776. We certainly can't do it in 2012. It's just not going to work.
Oh.
You know?
I really wouldn't mind if they ended the Fed and went back to the gold standard, to be honest.
Yeah, but ending the Fed doesn't mean going back to the gold standard, because the paper system started before the Fed. It started when we had our first revolution, we had a paper credit system. Then we went into an era where people had their own gold and issued their own drafts. Then came the Civil War when the North wanted to fund the war, and they decided to create the National Bank Act and the National Currency Act that prohibited us from making our own paper. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning. So go ahead, get rid of the Fed. It doesn't change anything.
I want to just eliminate the year 1913, okay?
Well, we still have to have some, you know, there's still somewhere where you have to have a banking kind of system. And I looked at this briefly, and Toddie might know more about this, but actually there was a period in time when they didn't have they had the banks out of it, and they actually went into a depression in this country because of that, because the banks kind of withdrew their support, and it put the nation into a depression. So I don't know that I have all the answers for that, but I think
That's what a lot of people claim. The reality is that you're going to have, no matter what happens, I don't care what currency. Okay, put it this way. Are you guys familiar with tally sticks?
Sticks? You mean like the old elections?
Okay, there was a time when there was a whole economy run by a king based on tally sticks in England. And the tally stick, I believe it was in, the tally stick was used for something like 600 years. And the reason why is because the king said this is all he would accept for payment of taxes. And that's why the people were willing to use it. And how it would work is you and I would do, if I did some work for you, you would just mark my tally stick and put your mark next to it, and that would show that I did the work. It was just that simple. You know, and eventually you get all these marks on your stick, and then you trade it to the king, and it just keeps in control. Now, what's interesting is there's no money involved. The king is somehow not caring about making money off the people, but just keeping the system so that he controls it. And this is the way things ran for a very long time under a few kings. And the reason why is because they wanted to keep control. Now, what I'm trying to point out here is not the control factor so much as it is, it's just a symbol. Value is value. If you trade value and you're honorable, you're going to come up with something to give the other person in exchange for the value. It doesn't have to be gold. It doesn't have to be paper. It can be anything.
Right.
And it's up to us to see that that's what this is about. The IRS, the way they've got it set up is, if you do a books and records, if you keep books and records, the purpose of them is to pay taxes. I mean, in their view, anything you do because you're willing to record it means you want to pay taxes. That's the way that the Supreme Court has ruled. And what I'm trying to say here is that you have a right to the fruits of your own labor. This is your own thing. It's a voluntary self-assessment system, but that this is the crux of currency and governments involved in them is taxation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, guys, let me get you this, what I'm seeing on Twitter. I have conservative stats reporting 1% coming out of Mississippi with Santorum at 28%, Romney at 36%, Newt Gingrich at 26%, Paul at 9%. These are low numbers of people coming in. But I also have some exit polls from John King at CNN that said more than half of the voters in Mississippi and Alabama say at Mitt Romney is not conservative enough, and those voters split between Gingrich and Santorum. So it's going to be an interesting night to see actually how this actually plays out as we get it. The results are coming in slow, so I don't know if they're still using paper in Alabama. I don't know. Ours are electronic here in Indiana. So early exit polls are suggesting Santorum is a win in Alabama and Romney win in Mississippi, but too early to call. And Mississippi is a jump ball. Could be a long night. That's coming
right
in on Twitter. The polls coming in still at 0.1% from Alabama. We have Rick at 31, Mitt at 28, Newt at 27, Ron Paul at 9. 0.1 coming in from Mississippi. We have Mitt Romney at 35, Rick Santorum at 28, and Newt Gingrich at 25. But again, you're only getting about 70 votes.
The thing I find funny is in those polls, there's also, you know, a large group. You know, to me, 9% isn't a big a number until you look at the others vote, and it's 2% for the others and 9% for Paul. That's really kind of, it's
yeah,
like the others could
be
voting
like 27
for our guy.
Votes for Ron Paul so far in Alabama,
well, see,
and you've got 7 for Ron Paul, and you only have 28. I mean, these are low vote percentages coming out right now.
I put in the little link, you know, for Mississippi and Alabama, county by county, and then at the top it shows you, like, the total. And right now in Mississippi, they've got it, you know, it's kind of weird. It's kind of high, actually, for Gingrich, which is surprising me in a way because of all the talk. You know, the media, you know, it gets you going. But I want anybody but Romney in Alabama or any state for that matter.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
I would take Newt Gingrich in Mississippi. I wouldn't mind it. I just don't want Romney. And
yep.
I wrote to Romney's people saying, hey, you know what? Your guy doesn't enamor me, basically. He doesn't do anything for conservatives.
They don't
like
want to win. They don't want to win.
They those farther right.
But
you know, because if you're looking at 4 more years of Obama, and, you know, I heard Alan West talking today, and it was funny because he brought up the theory of, if Obama wins, there's possibly going to be a dictatorship in this country, and like I've been saying several times, because that's what we see happening. We see a president who avoids obeying the Constitution. We see a president who breaks the law constantly and isn't called on it. And we see a president who is just basically, in many, many cases, said, hey, I won. Deal with it.
Right. Okay, guys, we got some changes in the numbers. Still only 0.1% reporting from Alabama, but Rick Santorum is out to 34% with Mitt Romney at 27% and Newt Gingrich at 26%, Ron Paul at 8%. Coming out of Mississippi, we got 0.4% reporting with Rick Santorum at 33.9% and Newt Gingrich at 33.8%, Mitt Romney at 26.8%. So I think we're going to have to settle in for a long night here with these
Well, we got 2.5 hours left.
Well, you know, I've got something. What I've got from Fox is 28 for Romney, 32 for Santorum, 28 for Gingrich, and 10% for Paul in Alabama. And what I've got, and that's with 1% reporting. And in Mississippi, I've got 24 for Romney, 32 for Santorum, 37 for Gingrich, 5% for Paul in Mississippi. So
okay,
that's what I've got. Right
I know.
Now.
I don't know where all this is coming from because I got conservative stats, which people don't know. This is J.C. Hagan. He's a cold number nerd, and he crunches numbers. And he's got 1% reporting in Mississippi with Santorum at 34, Romney at 27, Newt at 34, and Paul at 4 in Mississippi. So, it's like crazy. Okay.
The numbers everywhere, you know, whether it's for the
anybody
or
but
even
Romney.
For the
see, this is what I
delegates
love about this,
real
okay?
Off.
Yeah,
every pundit
out
there, every pollster out there is saying Rick Santorum cannot do this. But look at what has been happening several times. Every time they say it, we the people say, we don't want to do what you want us to do. We're going to do, basically,
well,
on the, it's kind of like that little rebellious nature. We're going to do exactly what you tell us not to do. We'll vote for Santorum just because you told us not to.
And it's not just that. Santorum actually has a message. He doesn't just go out
well,
and attack. He has a message, and he speaks to the people. And he's also winning. He actually beat with 4%.
Newt Gingrich is in the lead in Mississippi now.
Okay. Yeah, I got that too here on this other poll. It's like, okay, where do we go?
34-33.
Well, I see. I've got a. Oh, that's probably not right. 37-31.
I've got 37-30. Okay, I've got 24 Romney, 32 Santorum, 37 Gingrich, 5% Paul, 1% Perry in Mississippi. And I've got 28 Romney, 32 Santorum, 28 Gingrich, 10% Paul, 1% Bachman in Alabama.
Bachman?
Yep, Bachman. Well, she was my first choice.
Yeah, a lot of people. There were a lot of people here in Iowa who wanted Bachman. They really did. It was funny because at our caucus, we actually, everybody went up and talked about, and we had like over 300 people in our precinct show up for our caucus, and that was unusual. Normally, there's probably between 100, 150. This time, it was over 300. And when people showed up, there was nobody speaking for Romney. Nobody spoke for Romney. We had 3 people speak for Gingrich. We had about 5 speak for Santorum. We had 1 person get up there and talk about Paul, but he's like, it was funny because this guy goes, hey, I'm up here to talk about, what's this guy's name? You know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he was, like, talking about Ron Paul. And then we had 2 people speak about Bachman, and both of them were guys saying, hey, we just need a woman president. We've had our first black president. Now let's get our first woman president elected out there, you know?
That's my thing. Well, see, this is the reason why. We have to understand. You've seen what I'm saying on Facebook. I'm not the guy that's trying to win an election. I'm the guy trying to destroy the progressive movement.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So my view is, take away their thunder in 2016. Michelle Obama is already looking at running in 2016.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Okay, well,
no way.
So
that would be hilarious.
But see our problem. Do you see our problem? If a dictatorship is being established,
right,
per se, but he doesn't have full control, he's naturally going to let his wife take over for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
While they take full control. And here's what we're up against. We're up against a group of the left planning for 2016 to do what they did in 2008. And no matter who wins in 2012. So there's only one way to defeat that. Get a woman first.
I don't
mind. Well, they're really fighting that. That's probably why they attacked them so viciously, I would imagine. You know, it's because the left, how they come after our women like Sarah Palin and stuff, and try to make them out to be stupid because they don't want us to have that woman.
Let's go back even further to one of our candidates, Herman Cain. Okay?
Yeah.
Herman Cain, being black, was, you know, a phony. He wasn't really black. He was an Oreo. He was everything, every kind of insult you could aim at a black man, the left could say about him.
Yes, and they actually
did
a public lynching.
But heaven forbid anyone say that about a liberal.
Right, exactly. And they basically did this lynching of him on TV with nobody from the NAACP or these guys coming to his defense. And so you can see really here that they're using the race card. See, they can't have a black man in the Republican Party. And here's the kicker. Obama's half white. You know, I'm sorry, people. He's not just a black man. He's also a white man. His mother was white. And Herman Cain was
the
first
I've always
athlete
said,
through black candidate, yes.
The funny thing that I've always mentioned is, you know, whenever they show him with his quote-unquote extended family, it's always those from Kenya. Those from,
yeah.
you know, his cousins, his... On his dad's side, you never see him with the white half of his family. I don't know if any of them are still living. They're, you know, but at the same time, you have never heard him really talk about. He always talks about his mom and his grandparents of his mother, you know, on his mom's side. But he doesn't talk about the people that you always see him with. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Guys, we got 1.1 I'm seeing out of Mississippi, 36% for Rick Santorum, 30% for Gingrich, 26% for Mitt Romney, 5.4 for Ron Paul. Alabama right now is still only reporting 0.1%, but Romney is currently in the lead at 35.6.
Look at the map, Brenda. They've got Mitt Romney in the front. But nothing is for Romney. They've got accounting
for
Gingrich and a county.
Well, as usual,
accounting for Gingrich and accounting for Santorum there.
As usual,
in Alabama
with Fox.
Oh,
I've got
quite a few actually. I've got five counties for Santorum, two for Gingrich, and one for Mitt.
Oh,
so I don't
have that on my map.
I've got 2% reporting, and of course at Fox. And so, naturally, Romney is leading in Mississippi now with 34 for him, 32% to Orem, 27 for Gingrich, and 5% for Paul. And in Alabama, with 1% still, it's 36 for Romney, 30 for Santorum, and 25 for Gingrich. So
yeah, they're rounding him up because I've got 35.7 for Mitt, so that's actually 36, 30, 20. Yeah, they're rounding up their numbers. But, yeah, so they're coming in slow. And it may take a while.
Oh, now I'm seeing 3.8% reporting in Mississippi.
Yep, just jumped to that. I just did that. Yep, we got Mitt Romney at 34. We got Rick Santorum at 30. We have Newt Gingrich at 27.8. So I guess you would say 34, 31, 28, and Ron Paul at 7. So it's going to be close.
Yeah.
But actually, in Mississippi, they had Democratic voters and independent voters. Majority of those were going for Romney, whereas they had the evangelicals were going, like we said, for Rick or Newt. Anybody?
Uh-oh.
Somebody have something to say? Or
what's happening is I'm having trouble hearing for whatever reason. This thing kind of. It's very weird sometimes.
Okay. Well, I've got some kind of TV or so, or somebody watching the TV for results. Or everybody hear me okay? I'm not breaking up, am I?
I hear you fine.
Okay. Okay, so Alabama, 1% reporting, Romney at 36, Santorum 30, Newt 25, Paul at 6, 1% reporting. So we'll see how that plays out as we go on. And actually, I kind of want to bring up, as we're talking about this, because...
Well, if Romney wins in both states, we know one thing, that Ron Paul is our problem. That's all I'm going to say.
I think Newt Gingrich is the problem.
The fact is, if Newt wasn't in it, and these people, part of them went to Romney, which is very possible, or some of them went to Ron Paul, Santorum still wouldn't be in it, and Romney would end up being closer than he is now.
Actually,
we have to keep Romney from getting 1144, no matter what it takes.
Actually, okay, somebody's got a TV on, so I don't know if they can turn it down a little bit.
What was that?
Anybody? Somebody's got a TV playing in the background?
Not me.
Or is that something else? Maybe it's something
not
else.
Not me. It might be someone else. You've got three callers. If three of us said no, it's whoever else is on the line.
Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I don't
have
a TV.
All right.
Do you have a TV
gone.
Going?
It's gone now.
Do what?
But here's Tani, I want to address that with you, because actually J.C. Hagan, who does conservative stats, they've done polling, and actually if Newt Gingrich drops out, a higher percentage go to Rick Santorum, and Rick Santorum beats Romney. If Santorum drops out, Newt can't beat Romney, because the split goes a higher percentage for Romney, 40% for Newt, and 18% for Paul. So there's actually been polls on this. And if you guys have been watching in Illinois, Santorum is gaining on Romney in Illinois. Santorum is gaining on Romney in California. Santorum currently in Pennsylvania is polling only 2% behind President Obama, whereas Romney's like 7% points behind Obama in Pennsylvania. So if you actually go back and you start looking at the numbers, if Newt Gingrich drops out, Rick Santorum does actually beat Mitt Romney in all of these states, because there's more conservative voters out there. Just like John Keith said, 50% of the voters in Alabama and Mississippi are the conservative votes, but they're splitting between Gingrich and Santorum. So they've
right.
seen similar results across the country.
But the fact is I know how much Romney spent on Newt and Santorum that he would now spend on Santorum alone. And that's the reason
yeah.
why I can already see how this will go, because that's what he's doing. He's
well,
buying
he's
the election.
Broke.
But see, the worst thing about Mitt Romney altogether, and I'm going to bring this up again, is his spending. He spends so much, he's just like President Obama. He's showing
yeah.
that our deficit and our debt do not really matter, because his own deficit and debt doesn't matter. He's using other people's money, and he's using it the way he wants to, not necessarily the way the people who gave it to him want him to. And that's where all he's doing, he's not playing up for people to vote for him. He's playing up for people to vote against the other guy. And
right.
the way he's doing it is it's actually making some people look at him and say, we're going to vote for that other guy in spite of what you say, just because you're not giving us a reason to vote for you.
And actually, if you go back and you look at Ohio, they're actually recounting in Ohio, because that win was only 10,000 votes out of 1.1 million cast. And if Newt Gingrich had not been in the race, Santorum would have won in Ohio. And
absolutely.
Also in Michigan. And so he would actually have had those two wins at his back. He's actually polling better in Texas. Texas is winner take all. 150
mm-hmm.
delegates. That's coming up. That normally would take place on a Super Tuesday, and Santorum polls better in Texas than Gingrich does. So I think the results that have actually come in have shown just the opposite. Newt Gingrich staying in, because in Ohio, Romney didn't go after Gingrich in Ohio, because Gingrich didn't campaign in Ohio. He spent all his money on Rick Santorum and just barely squeaked out a victory there in Ohio. Those voters that went for Newt actually gave that victory. Well, you know, you can't say they gave it to him, because they chose to vote for him, but it would have been a different outcome if Newt hadn't been in that race, so which would have been totally a death knell in Romney's coffin.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about Ron Paul. That's what I'm trying to say. Ron Paul is scoring less than Newt, and everybody wants Newt to leave.
Well, Ron Paul voters will not go, we've already asked them, they will not vote for Rick, and they will not vote for Mitt.
They will not vote for Newt. They would actually, Ron Paul voters would go to 90% Obama and
right.
a third party.
Right.
Or a third party.
Why are they even, so why are we even, sit, look at the fact that Ron Paul is taking some delegates. Look at the fact that his people
I'm not saying he shouldn't be out of it.
Wait. What I'm trying to say here is he doesn't belong here at all. The Tea Party should have been kicking his butt to the curb when this thing first began.
Oh, I
agreed.
Know.
Agreed.
I know. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the behavior of his delegates, like in Colorado and Georgia, they were trying to take over the delegate selection process. I mean, he's got them, and I've actually read some of his email, Toddy, and they are just plain hate-filled, misleading emails.
Mm-hmm.
And these people uh-huh. actually think they're winning.
Here in Iowa, our platform in our county, we've got only, Yeah, no, it's not a county platform. It's the district platform now. It was a county. Now we've got only six districts here. And the platform declares that we will stand with Israel monetarily and militarily. And Ron Paul cannot, his delegates have to sign that. They have to agree. And they won't. They refuse to. Even
right.
if they sign up to be delegates, that means, like, when they nominate themselves to be delegates, they have to get a second from someone else on the committee. I'm on the Central Committee, where the people on the Central Committee then would say, you know, you have to stand with Israel monetarily and militarily. And they say no. So we say then no, you're not getting a second from one of us.
Right. But see, the thing is, that still has, see, everything that's going on in the background still has potential in PR, still has a potential for problems. This guy can go out and, like she said, do a third-party thing, completely decimate the whole GOP thing by basically airing his dispute in public. If his son decides to go independent, Ron Paul has no reason to stay in the GOP, and his son couldn't actually just claim himself as an independent.
His son is actually too much Tea Party to be
independent. Yeah, we've got a little bit of an update coming in. 7.7 reporting out of Mississippi. I got Rick Santorum at 33%, Mitt Romney at 31%, Newt Gingrich at 29%, Ron Paul at 5%.
Yeah, I see Rick Santorum in the top of both.
Yes, in Alabama we got 0.9 reporting with Santorum at 32, Mitt Romney at basically 30, Newt Gingrich at 29, and Ron Paul at 6.2. So, but clearly coming in slow, and too close to call because nobody has called them yet. So, we'll just watching them as they come in here. So.
The two the establishment wants are Romney and Santorum. That's the two the establishment wants. They want Romney more than Santorum, but those are the two they want.
The establishment does not want
Santorum.
Oh no,
they don't want Santorum at all.
They think that he can't win. They actually think he can't win.
But let me explain. The reason they want him, you're right. They don't say, they right now under the polls. They say he can't win, but they also know that that doesn't mean anything. Obama's going to have $10 billion between unions and himself to use against whoever's nominated.
Uh-huh.
So they know that's meaningless. What it comes down to is this. These are the two people that have been able to pull at the considered conservative GOP side. Santorum has had the ability to grab more of the people that Romney cannot and appeal to unions. And unions, I completely hate unions. But he wants to feel the unions, that's fine. Because I know that they're the communist manifest
right.
in America.
Right, exactly.
But see, so that's my problem with the whole idea of even appealing to them. But the thing is that the GOP knows that to win, if we will not nominate him, they know that we will at least get behind Santorum. I'll settle for Santorum, okay? So they know that, and that's what I'm trying to say. Is that because they know that they're willing to back him. The hard part is, my trouble is I need somebody to ask him what the constitutional basis is of money that isn't earmarked going to the president, because I can't find it. I see the Constitution.
Any.
That's right. The Constitution says that the money, that the appropriations comes out of Congress, period. That means that if they don't set the money out to be spent, it sits in the Treasury. The executive branch doesn't get to spend it just because it's there.
Rick knows that.
Well,
Rick
here's the problem.
That.
When he was asked about earmarks, he said he went and deferred to what Ron Paul said in defending earmarks. And I have a problem with that whole defense, and that whole defense is the same for both of them.
What Ron Paul was talking about is like, okay, states get so much money, and right now we've got like even Texas giving back $38 million. Well, guess what? If the Congress doesn't use it, it goes straight to the Treasury.
But that doesn't mean it can
there.
Be
back.
But it,
and
does.
It should
and,
be
and
used.
Actually,
it should be used on the debt.
Actually,
it should
Toddie,
be.
What's that?
Rick had a moratorium on the earmarks when he started watching them be abused. So he actually would sign a law if they would pass one for no earmarks.
That's not what he said. What he said was, of course I'm against earmarks unless I'm the president. I'm for earmarks unless I'm the president. Because if there's no earmarks, that means more money for me to spend. He actually said that.
When did he say that? Because I have not heard Fox that.
Well, no, okay, guys, guess what? There's a budget, okay?
Yeah,
it's a national budget that has to be done every year. The Congress is supposed to do one in both the House and Senate, and the President is supposed to do one. If the Congress does not do one, the President who did one, his earmarks or whatever he put in his budget will get spent that way, is what he's talking about.
He doesn't just get
whichever
them.
One gets passed, whichever budget gets passed, is how the money gets spent.
But that's not the earmarks that people are talking. That's not the earmarking that people are talking about, and I don't like the fact that this is being confused. The earmarking that people are talking about that they don't like in government is when, let's take health care. Remember all the senators that were against it, and all of a sudden you had, we're going to give a benefit to Nebraska. Remember, Ben Nelson in Nebraska. Then you had, what's your name, in Louisiana. Those are the earmarks everybody's talking about.
Right.
Because they're used to buy a vote.
Right.
And that's not the same. That's not the budgetary earmark, because that has nothing to do with the budget. That has to do with how they make a piece of legislation, set up an amount in it, and then they run that through appropriation.
No, see, that's still part of the budget there, Toddy, because the budget was meant for the health care legislation. And if they put like $800 billion into the health care legislation, and for health care alone they only spend $500 billion, that other $300 billion can be spent on the earmarks, and other people put their bid in for some of that money.
No, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. It can't. The Constitution says the money
I agree with that.
Okay, there's my problem. If you have a candidate who says that he is for earmarks in any way to me, he is, and then uses the Ron Paul defense that if the money isn't spent by us, it'll be spent by the president.
Uh-huh.
I have a problem. I have a
senator. That was defending
his
senator.
They're just talking about that.
He has actually said that he will sign legislation against earmarks. You know,
See, Toddy, what you're not getting is that's how it has been. They haven't been going with the Constitution.
Wait.
They've been doing it that way.
I know that, so don't tell me that. I do know that, and that's why I have my problem. If you're going to run for president and you're going to sit there and tell me about the Declaration of Independence and you're going to sit there and tell me you're going to do it according to the people, that means you're going to follow the Constitution, which means you no longer can or will support earmarks. You know we don't need a law to ban them. What we need is our entire government to know what that Constitution says. And if you're planning to be president and you're trying to tell me you're going to do it our way, you're telling me you're going to make sure that this government pays attention to that Constitution.
Well, you know
what?
But see, that's different.
Hang on, hang on, hang on.
When you pay attention to it, that comes out of the Rules Committee of the House of Representatives. That rule is not constitutional in your eyes, is what you're saying, but it is still a rule of the House and the Senate and the presidency.
Actually, Rick Santorum was for line item veto, which would have done away with earmarks.
You don't want to handle. You know that I listened to Paul Ryan tell the president, and I have the YouTube video, and it was the one where they had the healthcare summit with the Republicans back in 2009.
Yeah, I love that one. I've seen that.
And you will find that it was Paul Ryan who stands up and says to the president, "We want to give you the line item veto." Can you imagine that on Obama's hands?
Yeah,
no, we do not want a line item veto you. No. There's a reason it isn't there yet. And if you look at the state, and I'm going to point this out.
Said it was ruled unconstitutional, so they couldn't actually do a line item veto. That's what he said, so I don't know. But let me give you an update. We got Mississippi reporting at 11.9%. We have Rick Santorum at 33%. We have Mitt Romney at 31%. We have Newt Gingrich at 30%. We have Ron Paul at 5%. And in Alabama, we have 3.7. I got Rick Santorum at 34. We have Newt Gingrich at 29. We have Mitt Romney at 28. Nobody's been called yet. We have Ron Paul at 6%.
Yeah, it's going to be moving all night. Well, you can't be moving all night.
If you look at this, it's really, they're pretty matte. They're pretty colorful.
Well, Adams.
Oh, here's some pink, and here's some gold, and there's some green.
Adams
yeah.
County, Alcorn County, Atala, Benton, Bolivar, Calhoun. There's a whole bunch of them that haven't even reported yet.
What is surprising
some
to
of the
me
big
is
ones
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Oh, Birmingham's actually changing color right now.
Where's Birmingham going?
Oh, it's Santorum, but...
Oh, awesome.
But that's like one of the biggest there. Cities.
Yeah, it is. But you're talking about Alabama. You're talking about one of the very, very
yep.
conservative states, okay?
Yep.
You're talking about a southern state. You're talking about a Christian state. You're talking about... That's the difference. Although Montgomery is going more toward Mitt Romney, but not by a whole lot.
I've got 45%. I've got 45% for Romney, 24 for Santorum, 27 for Gingrich in Montgomery.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so.
Actually, Montgomery has some reports. So 37 for Romney, Newt Gingrich is 32, Rick Santorum 23.9, and Ron Paul is 4.4.
Because it's kind of interesting as you're going, it's going to be kind of interesting when this is all done to see these counties, because Montgomery and down this way, you're kind of leaning toward the Florida line.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out, because you've got over here toward the Atlanta line, you've got the Newt Gingrich counties going pink here. So, I think that's kind of interesting to see how that all kind of plays out. And then in Mississippi, it's like, there's no rhyme or reason going on here yet in Mississippi. It doesn't
Carroll County is going for Newt, and so is Chickasaw, it seems, for what I can see reporting. Yeah, 21% in Carroll, and 35% for Newt, 28% for Santorum, 29% for Romney, 6% for Paul, 1% for Bachman. You see, the 6% for Paul and 1% for Bachman, I can understand it's one, big deal. And that's surprising.
Well,
but,
this may come
but
to
if
a
Ron
1%
Paul wasn't
again,
there,
though. You know,
if Ron Paul wasn't there, though, I have a feeling Santorum would have picked up those votes. He could have picked them up, especially it's impossible.
If you watch the Ron Paul emails, they don't say anything about Mitt. It's all about Rick Santorum and how big government he is and how awful he is, and he's a bad man, and he
lied. Well, then Romney would have picked them up, and that would have been horrible.
Yeah. So, you know, Ron Paul's people are not going to go for Rick Santorum because of the way Ron Paul... And I actually signed up for his email because I saw one posted, and it was so hateful. I thought, well, I want to see what he's posting.
I
got a second one, and it was all against Rick Santorum, and it was
Hey, Rick Perry has some votes in here, too, you know.
Just remember, the two
in
guys...
In Alabama.
The two guys that went negative in Iowa that started the whole negative campaigning were Mitt Romney and Ron Paul.
Uh-huh.
They've been negative from the very beginning.
Yes, because that's
and
all...
And nobody says anything.
But Mitt Romney doesn't have that with Obama. He's not going to be able to play. You know, he tried to say what he's going to do, and I'm already looking at that and starting to laugh because Obama already has 16 answers to Sunday for whatever Mitt Romney is claiming he's going to do. I don't remember what, and I couldn't believe that anybody who's claiming to want to be president, I believe he wants to lose. I believe he knows he's going to lose. I believe he's doing this to lose. I believe it's the Progressive Party just wanting 4 more years of Obama. I believe that the Tea Party and the conservative movement needs to get behind the two conservatives in this race and abandon the other two guys. And that right there is a two-man race that we're all looking for.
The establishment GOP wants Romney because I actually have a doctor. I work for a group of doctors here in Indiana, and he's actually part of the Republican Party. He's actually on city council. He is a fiscal conservative, not so much a social conservative, and he thinks Romney's going to win. And actually, we have a dinner bet on it. He's teasing me about sticking by my man, but I'm sorry. I told him today, I said, you know what? Santorum is the last one that I can actually go out and campaign for and put myself out there for because, you know, he has enough of my convictions that I can do that. and I like enough of his policies that I can promote them. Whereas if it comes down to a Romney, I can't do that. And he goes, well, you could say he's better than Romney or better than Obama. I said, well, I could do that, but I'm not going to go hold signs in 30 degrees.
Wait a minute. How can you say he's better than Obama? Under what criteria could anybody say?
I think he's American. He's pro-American. That's the only thing I'll give you.
But he's not. His father was. Do you know why his
father?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, but do you know why he was born there?
Yeah,
do you know why his
father
was born in Mexico?
I know his father was also.
Wasn't it because of his wife?
Yes, it's because his grandfather. It was because his grandfather was a polygamist and had to leave the United States of America. And that is the reason why his father ended up born in Mexico.
Yes. But, Toddy, a lot of people don't study this stuff. Like, if they're working all day long and stuff like that, you know, they don't know the stuff. Some of the stuff I was telling him today, he's like, well, I didn't know that. And, you know, but so they don't follow this stuff closely enough. That's why
I understand.
Think it could be better.
I gave up probably over 20 years ago. I gave up the normal life in order to research to help other people. Yeah. And that's all I've done. So that's the only reason why I have all this stuff to pull out of a hat.
Yeah. Well, I have on Conservative Stats, which again is J.C. Hagan who does this. He's pretty good at the polling and watching things. He has the Mississippi primary with 16% reporting, Santorum's at 33%, Romney and Newt tied at 30%, and Ron Paul at 5%. So that's on Twitter. So I think there's more happening on the Twitter than there is on these maps that we're getting out of the election.
Yeah, there is. I just got something from Jimmy Dupree, who is a Washington, D.C. reporter for Cox Radio.
Uh-huh.
He says that the first result from Lafayette County, which is the Oxford Old Miss area, has Romney up 42% to 26% over Gingrich, with Santorum at 23%. And the first coastal results from Mississippi give Santorum an edge in Hancock County, Bay St. Louis, 34-21 over Romney, and this was about 20 minutes ago.
Okay, well now we've got 17% showing up on my Mississippi map, and it does show Rick at 34, Newt at 31, Romney at 30, and Ron Paul at 5. 4.5 coming out Alabama. We got Rick at 34. We have Newt at 29. We have Mitt at 28, and we have Ron Paul at 6.
Yeah, I got that. I got the same one for you on Alabama, but for Alabama, I only have 2% reporting. For Mississippi, there's 14.
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing the Huffington Post map. I know they're all kind of a little bit different, but we found the Huffington Post usually comes up pretty quick as far as updating. So, but these maps are actually really pretty, people. If you're not looking at them online, you got a pastel green, and they've got this mauve and the gold and yellow. It's like,
and it's interesting how they like go a little bit light green if it's both Santorum and Romney in there. And
yeah,
kind of like an orangish gold when it's Newt Gingrich and Santorum. Kind of like an ugly brown when it's Romney and Newt.
Yes, let's just be commenting on the colors of the maps. Why would we wait for these results to come in? It's like they still haven't called anything. Obviously, it's going to be a close election, and they won't call those until they're absolutely sure. In fact, like I mentioned earlier, they are doing a recount in Ohio, you know, because it was within, there was 10,000 votes.
One percentage point.
I don't know. There was 1.1 million votes cast, and there was 10,000 vote difference. So
it was one percentage point difference. They said, if it was 1.5% or less, they wouldn't recount. But if it's less than 1.5%, they'll do a recount.
Yeah,
they
it's an automatic recount. Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Well, it does. You know, because you just want to be sure. You don't. You know. And actually, you know, guys, I read today that Ron Paul actually won the popular vote in
Virginia.
One of those island places. But they gave all
Guam.
No, it wasn't Guam. You know what they did in Guam? They had the GOP convention and they raised their hands for Mitt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there wasn't even a popular vote there. I mean, and yet the news made a big deal out of this, okay? And then, but it was either the was, I don't think it was the Virgin Islands. What was the other one that actually voted?
Some other
Puerto
island.
Rico?
No, it wasn't Puerto Rico.
There was
some other kind of island, like
Marshall
Islands. Remember.
Marshall Islands?
Oh, let me go see if I can find it. But I found that interesting. That was actually a Ron Paul win by, you know, maybe 7 votes, and they gave it to Romney.
They always give the vote to Romney.
Yeah, if they can get away with it, they do.
Well, Romney's the only one who can afford to advertise there because it's very high price advertising there, too.
He's the only one who can afford to grease palms.
Yes,
yeah. And that's the other thing he's been doing. Did you see what happened in Florida? There were nude supporters wearing Romney caps and Romney T-shirts and, you know, holding signs, and people went up to them from the news saying, hey, you support Mitt Romney? They're like, no, we just were paid by Romney people to do this. So it's like, what?
Yeah, exactly what the problem is in our situation, and I need a plan from somebody that addresses it, and I'm not seeing it from the considered front runners.
Well, no, look at this. This is a funny thing. You know, they were talking about this on Fox today. I don't know if you heard it, Toddie, but they had this guy who he's from the it's the ACLU. That's it, Civil Liberties, and it was talking about voter fraud. And he was bringing up how Eric Holder and his neglecting to go after the Black Panther Party over that, you know, that intimidation case in Philadelphia, and his declaration, he literally declared that if it's a black against white crime, he will not prosecute it in the DOJ. He will not do that because a minority cannot intimidate a majority, he says. That's his theory. So this guy was talking from the ACLU, and he was saying Eric Holder's the worst AG we've ever had because of that kind of line.
Okay, here's the thing you got to understand about the ACLU. The founder, and this is reading, this is what the founder of the ACLU said, if I can get the page to come up here. He says the ACLU, the ACLU is our nation's guardian of liberty, working daily in courts, legislatures, communities to defend and preserve the individual rights and liberties of the Constitution, blah, blah. That's what they say, right? Okay, now, here's what the founder said. I am for socialism, disarmament, and ultimately for abolishing the state itself. I seek the social ownership of property, the abolition of the property class, and the sole control of those who produce wealth. Communism is the goal. That's Roger Baldwin. That was his vision in creating the ACLU.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's the ACLU
today, the guy from today, the one that was talking, was not under that theory. He was basically saying getting rid of that case is going to lead into a big amount of voter fraud in 2012. There's going to be a lot of those kind of intimidating tactics.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of black-on-white crime introduced in the voting process,
sure,
which is going to be overlooked.
But these are their issues. These are leftist issues. These are not the issues of America. What I'm trying to say is,
right,
it is still the same message as the founder had when he's saying this. It may not seem like it, but it is, because we've become accustomed to these issues as being what makes America important. It's like that guy, the guy on the Facebook page who has the 10 things that are wrong with America. He doesn't – nothing's wrong with America. We have a government that's gone overboard. We're the ones who should be addressing that. And see, you know what I'm getting at. I think
what his thing was, it was 10 things that were wrong with our government right now, why America is the way it is because of the government.
Well, you could say that, but the fact is there's nothing – the government – is acting without the Constitution is the simple answer. You know, people who want to get rid of the Fed, the fastest way to get rid of the Fed is go back to the Constitution. Not because the Constitution says that we'll be on a gold standard as a nation, because it never said that. It says the states can only make gold and silver tender for payment of debts. It's very technical, the language they use for all the money stuff.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It didn't say that the national government can only use gold and silver. That never happened.
Right. Hey, guys, okay. We got some little update here. We got about 23% reporting in Mississippi. We still have Rick Santorum in the lead at 33%. We have Newt Gingrich at 31%. We have Mitt Romney at 30%. Ron Paul at 5%. And then in Alabama, we got 6% reporting with Rick Santorum at 35%, Newt Gingrich at 29%, Mitt Romney at 28%, and Ron Paul at 6%.
I'm going to tell you guys, if we can find a way to support the two, if you line them all up and you went Romney, Santorum, Gingrich, Paul, if we can find a way to get the support for the two in the middle and pull the support away from Romney, we know we can't get it from Paul, so let's get it from Romney. We're going to have our nominee and VP nominee right there.
Yeah, the problem is you're not going to get it from Romney because Romney is backed by the establishment. He was the preordained. Actually, they were telling us he was going to be our candidate before the first vote was even cast.
He has enough baggage and problems that if we decide that we're going to be a million Breitbarts, we'll find it and we will put him in his place. And we will make sure that this election goes in the way of the Tea Party. We are not victims. We are the army. We're patriot soldiers.
Yeah, we keep trying to tell people that. It's we the people, you know. And I'm not actually totally Tea Party. I'm more of a right-wing Republican, but I side more with the Tea Party than I do with the mainstream Republicans. So, hey, we got 32% coming in from Mississippi. We got Santorum at 33%, Romney at 30%, Newt at 31%, Paul at 5%. So, still pretty close there.
Yeah.
Obviously too close to call. We're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. So
I have no problem with Santorum winning as long as we understand that Romney lost. That's the only thing that matters to me.
That's
Romney
the thing
has
they have to
lose.
Take away.
Yes.
That's like Megyn Kelly last week when we had the Super Tuesday. All she kept doing whenever Santorum would win, she would say Romney came in second.
I know.
And it's like, well,
they do that.
He lost.
And Rick actually called him out on it, and they tried to say he's not right. And it's like, excuse me, but they reported Wyoming twice because they reported Wyoming about a week ago, and then they reported it again on Saturday to take away from Rick Santorum's huge victory that he had in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
And they did that on purpose. They're trying to mislead people.
Right.
But we got enough
people.
Well,
yeah, you know what? I heard on Fox today, it was really funny because someone said, well, he's never pulled 50% or more. Santorum. And I'm like, he just had 51 in Kansas.
He just won by 51 in Kansas. It's like, what?
Well,
yeah,
he won
so
by 30 because the second place was only 21.
Yeah. So,
which was Romney.
But, so that was kind of interesting. So I think Rick and Danny dropped us. I don't know. They're still listening out there.
There's like 40 counties that haven't even reported in Alabama yet.
I know. I don't know. They must do. I don't know why they're coming in so slow. You know, I don't know. We're kind of spoiled here in Indiana. We have our electronic machines. We've had them for a long time. So, you know, we don't write on
paper.
Yeah,
we have. Do you take a piece of paper and put it into the machine?
No.
Or
we just push buttons on the machine.
Ours is like
a
computer. You just, like, answer the questions, and it
goes
to the next one. Who do you like for president? Republican, Democrat, you know, and then it has the name next to it, and then you push a button.
Ours actually does that, too. There's a button off to the side that you push, and then when you're ready to enter, you push the red button, and that enters your vote.
Uh-huh.
So
Gingrich, it looks like Gingrich won in Jasper County because it's 95% reported in. But it's a real tiny county, so, you know, I'm glad at least something works like it should. It's a small county, it reported fast. You know, so much of this stuff doesn't work the way you would think it would, and I have a feeling that has to do with the establishment.
Somewhat. I do believe so, because, you know, we saw in Iowa where they were quick to call it a Mitt Romney win when he won by only 8 votes. When they tallied it and Rick won by 34 votes, they didn't want to call that a Rick win. And that actually hurt going into South Carolina. And they did that intentionally.
Yeah, but
and,
see,
you know,
my favorite line that Rick Santorum needs to say. He needs to explain when he's attacking Romney and he goes after him state by state that he's lost. He says, look, in Iowa, when I had won by 8 votes, you had spent over $600,000 a vote. Okay?
Yeah.
No, wait. Now, since you lost, it was a complete failure.
Yeah.
Now, which Bain Capital do you not want us to ask you about?
Right. And here's the thing. Romney has actually went through over $60 million trying to beat Rick Santorum. And Rick Santorum, I think it's maybe $6 million that he spent, if that. I mean, it's a huge difference. And they still don't get it. They still don't get why Rick is winning. And it's because Mitt has no
money. Well, the way I heard it was that Romney is spending $18 to Santorum's $1.
Yes. Usually,
when he wins, he only squeaks by.
Right.
Like, especially starting in Iowa. He barely squeaked by in the beginning, but he didn't even win because, and I know full well what happened there. You know, they entered the numbers into the computer system wrong.
Right.
When Romney had only 2 votes, they entered in 22. When they're in one county, he had 5, in another county, he had 4. They entered 54 for both of those counties. And it was stupid. Stupid little errors like that that caused them to believe Romney was the winner.
Yes, and then they were slow to try to correct it. They didn't want to correct it after they made the
mistake. They corrected it once all the precincts sent in their paper ballots.
Yeah, but when
because we did a paper ballot first, and then they entered all the paper ballot information into the computer, and then they sent it into the central committee, which I sit on, and the central committee then counted the paper ballots, and then they corrected whatever errors were in the computer system.
Yeah,
but that had to go through the mail, you know, snail mail, by the certain date that it had to be there. Well, 8 precincts didn't even send theirs in because they weren't going to participate in it. But Santorum still, without those 8 precincts, won by 8 votes.
Well, he won by, at that time, but, I mean, it was like 30-something that he actually won by.
Or, 34 votes it was.
Now, the thing that gets me, and this is my favorite, is Newt was right about Mitt in that he's a Massachusetts liberal. Because when you look at him doing 72% in Massachusetts when he barely squeaked by in Michigan, it tells you, which is supposed to be his home state, it tells you everything you need to know about who Mitt Romney really is. And Santorum needs to exploit that. And if it, and I mean, he should have
actually, he does. He does in his, what, his speeches, because I've actually watched him. Santorum never uses notes. But I actually went to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and listened to him speak live. And he does go after Romney and his record. But you don't hear that on the news because they want you to think he's all about the religious issues, which is not true at all. He's not afraid to answer the question when they ask it of him. But when he's giving his talks, it's about health care. It's about energy. It's about the liberal judges that Romney elected Romney approved in Massachusetts. It's all about Romney's record and about where Rick actually stands. And he actually had a transformation, Toddy, from the time that he was in the government to when he left. He got a new perspective at being out there with his family and kids and watching what the government's doing. So, you know, he said that was really good for him from a perspective because you get that outside perspective. He had been there for 16 years without. So.
That may be. My whole thing is, as I watch what's going on, I want to know that he can comprehend and appreciate the stand that, first off, I did post down the thing about the Tea Party. I want to know what changed his mind. And people can say, well, no, he wasn't negative about the Tea Party. It was this or that. Excuse me. There was no need to bring up the Tea Party. He gets to choose his own words. Please don't try to put things in his mouth. He chose to speak of them, and he chose to speak of them when talking about concerns. And I don't appreciate that. And he really should apologize and at least say he was wrong or say something. And if nothing else, say, I was right at the time. This is what I believed, but you guys have changed my mind. Say something. Help us get over this hump.
Right.
That's really important.
Well, that's important. I understand what you're saying there, Toddy, because a lot of people I know were afraid when the Tea Party first started because they wanted to see where they were going with what they started.
Right.
They didn't, like, even Occupy. Some people were cautiously, you know, pessimistic right away, and justfully so, because they see exactly what Occupy turned into. But they were also that pessimistic about the Tea Party at first, until they finally saw, you know, the Glenn Beck rally, and they saw, like, when Nancy Pelosi claimed that someone spit on one of their Black caucus members, saying, you know, the Tea Party did that. And there's absolutely hundreds of videos that were gone through, and nobody ever caught that.
Well, see,
but
the thing
apparently,
the Tea Party. It has been the whole thing with the Tea Party has been, how do we get a government that follows the Constitution?
Right.
And that's all we're trying to do now.
Right.
We have to have a candidate who doesn't just tell us these are the words in the Declaration of Independence, but tells us what's behind those words. We need somebody that can make Obama.
But that's what Santorum
eat
does.
It.
Santorum always says this is the how. This is the why. This is the manual to the Constitution.
He says the Constitution is how, and he says the Declaration is why. And does this in his speeches. So
I heard him tell it in the Alabama forum. My problem is, this isn't what he's been saying. This isn't what he's been about. This isn't been his fundamental transformation, if you will, for himself. Of that's been going on. It's only something that's recently seems to be coming since he's decided to embrace the Tea Party. I don't want it that way. I don't want a politician like that. I want to see somebody.
He's not a politician.
Well,
I mean, this man coached Little League for 3 years for his son. I mean,
I understand.
It becomes a matter of trust with the candidate. And Santorum I don't think he's outright lying to people.
I could tell you so many things about Newt Gingrich that you won't believe, so please give me this much that it's okay if I don't necessarily completely believe Rick. I'm not saying he's a liar, but I don't know him. I don't trust him. And for the things that he's suddenly saying, I'm feeling like he's trying to just get the Tea Party vote. And he needs to be honest about it. He included us in a negative about libertarians, and we are not libertarians. And the thing is, Ron Paul has been trying to steal the Tea Party movement and claiming he started the whole thing. You do know that, right?
Okay, hang on. I got 47% reporting out of Mississippi with Santorum at 33, Romney at 31, Newt at 31, Paul at 4. Here's what I would tell you, Toddy. When we first Billy and I were both Herman Cain supporters.
Right.
Oh, we had been campaigning for him for months. That's how we met. That's how we got started. And that's the same as
John Anderson, the one that you're talking about in Patriot Soldiers. John Anderson was a big-time Herman Cain supporter.
Right. A lot of us.
But after
he
left, one of John Anderson's famous lines was, "I'm not voting till the general. I'm not going to stand behind anybody until the general."
Okay,
but he seems to be now following
in. 53%
now he seems to have this narrative of the mainstream. He's trying to sound like the establishment. That's what I get from John.
But anyway, 53% coming out of Mississippi. We have Santorum at 33, Romney at 31, Newt at 31, Paul at 5. That's so far, that's still good stuff coming out of Mississippi. But here's what I was going to say, Toddy. When we were devastated because we all loved Herman Cain and we supported him heart and soul. And
he's a great man. He's a great man.
I met him when I was 15.
I read his book and it was just like, oh my gosh, this man just thinks like I do. It was like he was a part of me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I was really excited. But what we did is we asked the candidates to come and talk to us on the radio. Just a small group of us that came from Santorum. And the candidates that came to speak with us was Rick Perry, Michelle
Bachman,
and Santorum. Newt would not return calls, and Romney would not return calls. So, and we didn't.
And nobody wanted Ron Paul.
And so
nobody
we
even tried to contact
on the phone.
People.
We have actually talked on the phone and voiced our concerns to Rick Santorum and heard his answers.
Like we are right
now.
He was on our shows.
Yes, and he answered our questions. And what he says about the Tea Party is that his concern was that they wanted no government, kind of like the Ron Paul people.
That's
and
what
he
I
says
said.
He believes in limited government, but not no government.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
That's what he thought they wanted at the time.
Yeah, but that's my point. This was June of 2011. I'm not talking about June 2001. This was June of 2011. This is only a few months ago, a year ago, that he thought this way. This is a problem for me. What sudden revelation? What changed all of a sudden that he need that he's willing to go? Does he actually know the Constitution?
You know what
does he know what I'm? Does he know what I'm bringing up when I bring up, if I brought up Federalist 42 and brought up the fact that slavery was supposed to be ended by the passage of the Constitution, would he know that? That's what I want him to know.
I don't know.
I want him to be able to tear Obama apart. We need somebody who can tear Obama apart. Not
even,
I mean,
Patty, when he was on our show, he addressed the fact that back then, see, he was on our show in December. When he did that in June, it was before he had talked to, quote-unquote, Glenn Beck, okay? And Glenn Beck basically put him in his place about the Tea Party.
Glenn Beck decided to call the Tea Party racist for supporting Newt Gingrich. So Glenn Beck isn't exactly the person to even begin to think about as the guy to follow. And I was a big Glenn Beck supporter until he decided to play this game with us where he's trying to
I never heard that one.
He wants us to vote for who he thinks it should be. I can get it for you if you want. He was on – Judge Napolitano lost his show on Fox News Channel after doing some spiel that was all pro – basically all pro Ron Paul libertarian. But it was that
and
show
not
that
only
Glenn
that,
Beck
there
was
on. Anti-Semitic language in there, and that's why he actually got fired.
Well, Glenn Beck decided to say that the difference between Newt – that because Newt named Teddy Roosevelt as his hero, that means he's absolutely a progressive – that's it. That's all that really Glenn Beck needed. And that if you have Obama and Newt and you're going to go for Newt, he puts his hands out, you know, and he does the little thing where he weighs them. And he says, what's the difference? He's white.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we got 61% reporting out of Mississippi. We still have Sim Torum at 33%, Romney at 31%, Newt at 31%, Paul at 5%. That's just 61% reporting. And Alabama, what I'm seeing so far is about not quite 20%. We have Rick Santorum at 35%. Newt at 30, Romney at 28, Ron Paul at 5, others at 2.4.
Well, I don't agree with what Glenn Beck did there. I don't agree with what Glenn Beck did there. But I have seen enough of Newt Gingrich himself saying that our FDR is the greatest president. And I'm sorry, he's not the Tea Party choice, if you ask me.
I understand what you're saying about his positions. He's mentioned FDR. He's mentioned people, but I also
and he's mentioned being
I didn't
a
hear
progressive.
The part where he said he was the best. I did hear him explain different things that FDR said. I can show you speeches that FDR gave that were absolutely eloquent and beautiful. That doesn't mean necessarily that you embrace all his ideas. You know, the woman who's going after Obama for his birth certificate, Orly Tate. Okay. Do you know, go to her website where it's Orly Tate's for Senate. Right at the top of her website, she's citing Teddy Roosevelt. Now, this is a woman who's going after Obama for his birth certificate. Are we going to say she's a progressive? I mean, maybe it's not an issue to a lot of people. Maybe it's meaningless to a lot of people. And I understand that. I know what that should have become, and nobody went there. Nobody's gone to, well, we need a government organization that's actually going to investigate this stuff. No, instead, it's turned into something that's kind of a laughingstock. And at the same time, I don't know if you heard about this, but one of our PIO spokespeople was saying that numerous people in the press were threatened on the idea that if they followed this birth certificate story, they were threatened by the White House. Some of them actually left their job.
Yeah, they're still being threatened. Hey, guys, there's a funny tweet going on right now. I just have to mention this. It says, I don't even know who this guy is, but he says, Santorum's doing better than exit polls projected. His voters may include a high number of folks who don't cooperate happily with pollsters.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
people are saying we're not going to let anybody else pick our candidate. And if the newspaper tells us to vote this way, we're not going to vote that way simply because the newspaper told us to vote that way.
Well, see, I'm definitely never – if Romney's the nominee, I'm not voting. If Ron Paul's the nominee, okay, if somehow Ron Paul were to suddenly make it in some way at a negotiated convention, at a brokered convention, to even be vice president, forget it. I'm not going. There's no way. That guy is as dangerous as Obama to our country, if not more so, in his own way. And this is what's funny is I look at the candidates, and I have to look at the things I'm looking at are who's dangerous to our country right now. Who's going to repeat what Obama's doing? That's number one.
Right.
Number two,
Romney.
Who's dangerous? Who's dangerous to us on the foreign front? Ron Paul.
Okay. Ron Paul.
Okay. So now, so now I have to look at who's got an actual vision of where America could be 20 years from now, where it could go. And that's that. I mean, I've heard Newt's plans. I think Santorum has some. I'm waiting for the full layout somewhere.
And his main plan, his main plan, and he did lay this out pretty much to us, is the whole made in America and bring businesses back.
Yeah, but
innovation.
That's not a plan. That's an outline. A plan is where you say, we are going to, I want to see America's businesses. I believe that I can help America's businesses have a goal that we can accomplish and get done. And here's what I want to do. People laugh at Newt for the moon thing. I've told you, look at your cell phone, look at your computer, look at all of the stuff, your stuff in your car. Look at the seats in your car and how they're protected. Your air conditioning system, environmental controls that we have. All of this stuff came from the moon.
Guys,
trip to the moon.
Guys, I got 69% report. I'm getting this from conservative stats.
What is
which
with
again
this freaking blog talk? It always does this breakup stuff, and I can't hear you.
Oh, am I breaking up?
There we go.
Can you hear
it's
me
fine
really?
Now.
Okay.
It's something.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's the Skype, but I don't know. But Mississippi, 69% reporting from conservative stats. We got Santorum at 31, Romney at 31, Newt at 30. Paul at 4, and out of Alabama, we got 24% reporting with Santorum at 35, Romney at 28, Newt at 30, Paul at 5. So,
as long as it's not Romney, I'm happy.
Yeah, I know. It's just like
true.
Anybody but
and
Romney.
See, this is what I think I should post it on Patriot Soldiers again, but we posted it probably about 2 weeks ago. My husband went through YouTube, and he found a conglomerated video of Newt talking about his progressive, and it's always him quoting how progressive he is. I'm a progressive person. I'm this progressive. I'm a Teddy Roosevelt progressive. FDR is the greatest president since sliced bread.
I'd love to see it because it's like if it's anything like the ones where Obama's admitting he's from Kenya, I want to know.
I love that. You know what? I actually watched that just the other day where he said, it's like him looking down saying, well, I guess I'm not favorable anymore and my favorability in this country went down, but my favorability in my country of origin or my birthplace has gone up, you know? And it's like, oh, really?
And
you know what?
And where was the media on this? Because, you know, Rick mentions the devil when they're all over the place. But Obama mentions something about his country of birth as of somewhere other than America.
Oh, I
got
to show this other one, too. There's this one. This is so funny. Remember when John Stewart and Steve Colbert held a rally not long ago? And I can't remember what it was called. But at that, they had a conservative holding a sign that says Obama is Keynesian, right? And these people kept, you know, basically saying, you are racist. You are, how dare you say he's from Kenya? How could you dare? And it's like,
well,
you know what? I'm
Kenyan.
Looking at this, and these people are like, you can't read. It doesn't say he's from Kenya. It doesn't say he's Kenyan. It says he's Keynesian. And he'll be the first one to admit he's Keynesian.
You know what I would have done? I would have wrote above Keynesian. I would have put, you know what? You're right. This is inaccurate. And I would have wrote, Kenyan. He's a Keynesian Kenyan. I would have wrote Kenyan right underneath it. I mean, I would have just, does that feel better now that it's more accurate? And I would have just flashed it right at him. I mean, that's how I feel about all this stuff. I am tired of these people getting a chance to try and push us in the direction of arguing their point. To hell with their point. They don't belong. We don't need fair and balanced. We don't need a leftist perspective. They control so much of the media as it is. These people deserve no place and no voice, period. Because this is our country, and they have decided that we have no place and no voice. They make decisions.
Right, exactly.
Okay, guys, we got 78% coming in out of Mississippi. We still got a close one. But we got Santorum at 33. We got Gingrich at 32. We got Romney at 30. And we got Paul at 4. So this is that three-way tie they were talking about just the other day coming in from these states. So is it going to go down to the
wire? Yeah, you notice
wire?
That three-way tie kept having Romney in the front.
Well, I know,
you guys
that.
Ever seen a bad lip reading?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
did
well,
you ever
here's
see
the there's a Herman Cain
the
one,
Newt Gingrich
and I just
one?
Put it. I, there's a Herman Cain one I just put in there too.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why I mentioned it is because if you look at how they do it, a lot of these you can't really tell. And that's all I'm going to say is that that's what a lot of these guys are doing. And they're saying Obama admits he's from Kenya. Obama talks about his home country. All of these things. A lot of this is based on it's creative editing. I won't give them that. I'm not saying he's from America. I am saying he's not going to admit it. He's not even going to infer. He's not even going to leave the possibility of anybody to draw a conclusion that he's not born in Hawaii in public. He will never, ever, ever make that big a mistake.
No.
Sure, he'll mention 57 states.
Actually, we were talking about this earlier too, and about them trying to permanently seal his records, and you know that just makes you wonder more what he's hiding. You know, why are they trying to permanently seal records? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. If there's nothing to hide, why would you do something stupid like that? But
yeah, but see, that's the other side of Romney.
Well, the funny thing is, the person who can unseal records is the person themselves. So Obama can petition the court to unseal his records. The fact is, they were sealed when he was adopted. According to what they're saying, when he was adopted, his records automatically became sealed. And I guess they're still sealed till 2023 or something like that.
Well, how
was there a legal adoption proceeding? There was a legal
adopted by an Indonesian. Yeah,
okay.
His name was actually
Barry Turo.
I know, but I didn't know it was a legal adoption. Now, you do realize. Now, a friend of mine was trying to tell me that he attended a Catholic school and stuff. No, he attended a Muslim school.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. Well, no, I'm just making sure you guys are in the same, because, see, this is
the whole thing.
He was in this school only because his father had to swear by him as an Indonesian citizen. So at that point, he had to renounce his U.S. citizenship, and his father could do that for him as his parent or guardian. The problem is that Barry, when he came back, was never naturalized again.
And that's the problem. That's why he's not a technically constitutional presidential candidate, because he didn't do that.
And his father was a British citizen. His father being from Kenya, if you go to the actual stuff that we go by, if you look at the first four naturalization laws, the reality is that if a child is born of U.S. citizen parents, we assume that that child is a U.S. citizen. If the child is born of parents from another country, we assume the child is a citizen of that country until they're naturalized, until they become U.S. citizens, until they are considered U.S. citizens. So, and the reason we do
Brenda,
that is we don't want any
We have other callers on the line, too.
Oh, sorry.
So I think one's Danny. I don't know if the other is Rick.
Okay, go ahead and bring them in. I'm looking at some results. Let me get those real quick. I got Alabama coming in at
28%. Who do I have at 425?
I have Santorum 35. Who's that?
This is Mahmood.
Oh, hi, Mahmood.
Oh, hey,
Mahmood. Just a second. Alabama's coming in at 28% reporting with Santorum at 35, Romney at 28, Newt at 30, and Paul at 5. So just wanted to give that update. Hi, what you got to add to the conversation?
Well, you're talking about Kenya. I'm from Kenya.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
And he was
what
born in
tell
Kenya.
Us?
How do you
he was born in Kenya.
How do you know?
His grandmother said that.
But how do you know?
Well, there's a sign at every border that says, birthplace of President Obama.
Yeah, and we can't figure that
I sent that to Rick a little while ago, I think. Oh, it was a couple of days ago. Just to clarify this Indonesian thing, it was actually Barack Obama Sr. who went to Indonesia as a consultant, and being a Muslim, which is why Barack himself got admitted into the Muslim school, I didn't believe there was an adoption by an Indonesian family. I think Obama himself, Senior, actually enrolled his son when he was in Indonesia. So
really?
His mother's second husband, his last name was
Satoru.
Satoru, and that's what Barry went by, Barry Satoru. So that's why we were thinking he was adopted, because he went by the name of his stepfather.
In fact, he used the foreign status to get some loans, too.
I bet
loans.
He did. Especially being a Muslim here. But I have something else to add from a conversation you guys had a little while ago. Talk about who has a plan, whether it's Santorum, definitely not Romney, or Newt.
No, he attacked. That's his plan. I don't know. I haven't figured that one out.
Or Newt, for that matter. I think whoever comes in, whatever changes they're going to institute is a elaboration of what we have in place now. We need somebody who's going to come in and say, you know what, I'm shutting the government down for 30 days. This is what I'm going to do, and we clean house. If that doesn't happen, it's going to take us at least 4 to 5 generations to clean house and eventually get what we want today.
Yeah, well, so, what we got to do, okay, we're so focused on the presidential race right now, but we have to make sure that we get senators and House people like the Tea Party that we've got in the House, you know, because the House has already put forward some really, really good bills to start turning things around, but, you know, the Senate won't approve them. So we also have to make sure we're getting these conservatives in the House and the Senate.
And many of those bills
really,
are cleaning.
The president doesn't have that. If you look at the Constitution, the presidential rights are not anywhere near what Obama is doing out there. He doesn't have any constitutional authority for half of what he's doing out there. So, you know,
he's
we have to really
remember.
Yeah, I know. That he broke the first rule right there. That's why he tries to tell us the Constitution isn't relevant. Hey, 79 reporting out of Mississippi. I got Santorum at 33, Romney at 30, Newt at 32. Paul at 4. So, still looking pretty
well,
good.
Well, what I wanted to say is some of those bills that are passed in the House are already on the cleaning house type of bills. They're eliminating certain agencies in the government. They're taking money away from other aspects of the government that shouldn't have money. The Department of Energy keeps giving out these loans, these guarantees, to places that are going bankrupt.
What about Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae?
That's another one.
My goodness.
I just realized one thing. With Reid in the House, none of this is going to affect.
Right.
In the Senate, I mean, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Next thing with Obama as president, nothing's going to happen because he's just got a very socialistic agenda. He doesn't care who he throws under the bus.
Right.
It's a very
exactly.
Muslim way of thinking. I'm sorry to say it. My mother's Muslim, okay? I understand
mm-hmm.
that culture. It's a very Muslim way of thinking. All this stuff, he talked about transparency, right? Now, you just talked
right.
about why his records are sealed. I'll tell you, he's been transparent about it. He keeps
right.
his promise.
Right.
You're not going to see
absolutely.
Them. You know?
Absolutely.
So,
but there's so many people that won't actually come out and say these things, you know, but we can see it. Yeah. But I'm glad you're
well,
kind
you
of
can explain
that
something that we've
hey
been
guys,
questioning. Then
big news here:
know.
Alabama has been called for Santorum.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Woo-hoo.
She says
that's not a Romney.
not a
Romney. not a Romney.
Anybody
no.
but Romney. I'll even
accept
Paul for
Romney.
That matter. Good year.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but
Billy and
I
have decided we would.
I want to ask this guy something, Brenda, about
the
Muslim faith.
Okay.
Now, one thing I understand about the Muslim faith, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Because this is how what was in my world religion studies is, it's acceptable to lie as long as it advances the Islam, the religion.
Not true.
It's not true.
Not true.
Okay.
Like, for example, I'll give you a very good example. If you go if you go to the UAE or if you go to Bahrain or Dubai, and I've been to many of these places, if you're caught lying, you get whipped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
okay.
the change in the Muslim culture has come over the last 40 years with the real true establishment of the Muslim radical religious leadership. You must remember
okay.
that everything is emotionally controlled. Well, let's go back in Christianity. If we go back Christianity 5 centuries, okay?
Uh-huh.
Whenever we started up there. But if we go back, the church or the synagogue always had control over the masses. Now, while we
right.
in the West, while we progressed, where we think, you know, we have God-given unalienable rights,
mm-hmm.
and we stand up for them, which is what has made this country so great. Now, having said that, and as we've progressed and lived in modern times, we've revised our thinking. Our Bible has been written out several times in the language change. So we've progressed with times and with understanding of the human nature. They haven't. They're still living in archaic Abraham's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the truth. If you anything there is about religion, oh, Allah this and Allah that and Allah this and Allah that. Well, it's the same that's been existing there for years upon years and upon years. It is now so embedded in their culture that when we go to places like Iraq or Afghanistan and we want to introduce them to progressive thinking, they, first of all, they can't accept the fact that, you know, we leave out a whole gap of progression from where they are and where we are, number one, which they don't understand or don't appreciate or agree with. So I think when we look at the Muslims, when you look at a common Muslim man, he wants as much peace as you and I do. Trust me on this.
Okay.
It's the radicals. It's the radical.
Right.
That's
I accept that.
And it's a very society-based culture, too. You have five different societies. You know, you're the elite, or you're a mullah, or you're this, or you're a rich man.
Kurd, or you're a Sunni, or you're a Shia.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. So while we don't have that barrier here and we don't understand it, that's their lives. And I think basically that's the conflict. So coming back to the lie part, not really true till it suited the mullahs to do it.
So if you look at the original Sharia,
the original Sharia is very clear. Very similar. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same. It's very similar to what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
They still live by those Ten Commandments that Moses carried down the hill. So if we can kind of just look at it in parallels and comparison, you might just want to see where these jokers are coming from.
Who else is on the line? Is somebody just listening in on that other line that's open?
I hear truckers coming in on my line.
Okay. Is that Danny? Danny, is that you?
Hello.
Okay. I was just wondering. I knew we had somebody in there. Jump in if you feel like it at any point. I didn't want anybody to feel excluded.
Okay.
So.
And another thing.
Well, it's interesting to me.
What are they saying, Danny?
Another thing I think we would get with Rick would be some good Supreme Court judges.
Yes, absolutely. Some constitutional judges is what we need. So. You did hear that they called him for Alabama. It's for Rick, so
yes,
that's awesome. So okay,
yes,
guys, go on. Sorry, just wanted to make sure Danny didn't feel excluded there. So. Okay, on with what you were discussing, Billy.
Well, I was just going to ask question two.
Go ahead, Toddy.
Okay, one question I have is about zakat. Or zakat. Hello.
Don. Yeah. Hello.
Okay, you know what zakat is, or zakat? Z-A-K-A-T in English?
I can barely hear you.
Okay.
He's asking what the zakat...
Zakat.
Okay.
Yes.
Zakat is a tithe.
Okay, so now in the portions of the surahs that mention
mm-hmm.
it in being used for jihad are to be disregarded?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those don't
matter. The Sharia has no law for jihad unless and otherwise that they are attacked themselves.
And
of course for the progression of the Islamic culture.
But it says that the money that is taken in, that a portion has to be set aside and used for jihad. And that's what I'm asking is that something that the imams completely ignore? Is that something that is part of Islam? Is that not something that's part of Islam? And how does that play in context of portions of the portion of the Quran that says that new portions overwrite the old ones?
For the fact that, first let me address your last one, that the new portions overwrite the old ones. We must remember who wrote the new ones. The new ones have been written by those in power of the actual Sharia, which is the Muslim community, as we call it, and as a whole. Now,
the imam.
Coming back to this, well, the imam or the ayatollah, they have, every country has their own.
Kind of like how the Catholic faith has a pope.
That's correct. You know, popes, bishops, cardinals, you know.
Right.
Same thing. So when we look at that hierarchy, those are the people. And for example, even in our Bible, it's the Vatican that makes the changes. We don't. It's the same way. But let's go back to the zakat and the jihad.
But one doesn't overwrite the other. What I'm saying is that in the way that the Quran is that those later passages by Muhammad, where he in the beginning he starts out very peaceful towards Christians.
Don't forget, Muhammad was on the run, and most of his later writings came through different sources. They were hearsay more than actually written down.
Right.
Muhammad wrote the. If we can go back and say, what was the basis of Islam? And the basis of Islam was, A, number one, you've got to realize that Muhammad was a persecuted man. But the basis of Islam, as it came down from the seat of Abraham, had the same 10 commandments to start with that we had.
I understand that. I understand that idea. What I'm trying to figure out here is I know that Muhammad got to a point where his peaceful teaching didn't work. And part of the reason he was on the run is because he went into a violent...
He's talking about the Hadith.
Yeah, the Hadith. And most of the words that came out of the Hadith was never his own words. They were always hearsay.
Right. There was this one guy, it started with a U, U-R or something. He wrote most of that.
That's correct. And his son also wrote that. Ibrahim, who was Muhammad's son, also wrote that. He wrote some of the Quran as it unfolded. So when I look at the Quran, I look at the first 25 surahs. The rest of it is meaningless.
Right.
That's generally most Muslims will look at that. Now, if you're radicalized, you're looking at the other part rather than the fore part.
Have you?
So let me come back to zakat and jihad. When we look at the real context of jihad, we lose something in translation. Let me be honest with you. When we talk to jihad in Iraq or Iran, the common man's perception of jihad is to protect his integrity, to protect his religion, and if attacked, that action or that response is called jihad. Jihad has been taken totally out of context in its true sense. So, yes, when you pay your zakat, you pay your 10%, like I do to my church here, and then the church uses it for the benefit of the masses. And they keep aside something for a rainy day. That's exactly how zakat works. Now, keeping money aside for jihad was never a purpose, and I would like to refer to Salahuddin when he invaded Jerusalem. When Salahuddin invaded Jerusalem, they called it a jihad, but he let everybody out of the city go home.
Okay, I don't know how to pronounce the words, but the one I've got is something, the Surah At-Ta-Ba or something like that. 60.
Can you say that to me again?
S-U-R-A-H-A-T-T-A-W-B-A-H. Okay.
Yeah, Surah At-Taha.
And in number seven, it's talking about how in the cause of Allah, this refers to jihad in the cause of Allah, and this is where this is where the zakat is supposed to go, and this is what it specifically says there, is that it's for the jihad in the cause of Allah. So what I'm trying to figure out is how that doesn't apply today. What have the imams today? What have you heard? What have they said to say? No, we don't do that anymore.
No, quite the contrary. They do that now. The jihad, and as the Surah At-Taha says, that's the money from zakat for jihad for the progression of Allah. What is the progression of Allah? It's not spreading the religion. The progression of Allah is to keep his people honest, is to keep his people on track. That was the true meaning of that.
But the thing is that I'm getting this from various sites and things,
the basic idea is to buy
the necessary tools for jihad in the cause of Allah.
If they're
now,
attacked,
let me explain it in Catholic terms. Okay.
Okay.
In Catholic terms, what we do is we take 10% tithing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We give up 10%, but they put some aside for lawyers right now that are prosecuting the Obama health care bill. To protect the Catholic religion from being attacked by this administration, which it is right now,
so
by
that's money
them
going
demanding
jihad.
That Catholics pay for contraception, even though it's against their religion. So what they do with their zakat is they say, well, we need to put money aside in case we have to protect the religion from being...
Yeah, but the problem is that when I go to look at what the imams are saying about this, they're saying that this has to do with jihad as a cause of war, as the idea of it.
They're not looking at it in war.
You're
looking at war not only of laws and other means.
You're
looking at only one meaning of war, you're saying fighting.
But that's what they're meaning. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what these particular
right.
ones are meaning. That's what I'm trying to work on.
That's how it's interpreted by
again,
certain
again, the imams,
groups of
the
them.
Imams that are saying this today, you must remember what I said when I started the conversation. They are radicalized. And when
radicalized.
They're sitting
that's
on top
it.
Of the food chain, and when they're
what?
Sitting on the top of the food chain, everybody is so brainwashed and hogwashed and hogtied with
I'm
religion.
With what is the rest of the Muslim community doing to end this? To end
you know,
this interpretation?
There's a great spokesman, and he's an American citizen, just like I am.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Dr. Zauri. Have you heard of him?
Dr. what? I'm sorry, my thing is acting up again.
Zauri Jasser, Dr. Jasser. Zauri Jasser. He has been on CNN, he's been on Fox, and if you go and see his movie, it's called The Third Jihad. It explains what you and I are talking about with such simplicity, and the reasons why Muslims have become radicalized, and how
sure.
they have become radicalized. It's
sure.
called The Third Jihad. I would suggest that it's a true version coming from a Muslim's mouth.
But what are the Muslims doing to end it is my – see, the whole thing is the whole world has been upset about this in many respects, especially with what happened in 2001 and 9/11, okay? So my point is that's, you know, that's over 10 years. Something has – what has actually been done to stop it? What has been done
let
to help end the radicalized? That's all I'm trying to ask.
Let me say something to you. So when the Iranians, the masses, the students – rioted against the Politburo in Iran, we did nothing. We did nothing to support them. And they
which
were asking
wrong
for
of
our
us.
Support.
Which was wrong of us, and I completely
right.
agree.
So now, and then we go into Libya, and then we go into Egypt, and what we've done now, the masses are blind. They've been taught one thing, and they've got blinkers on. They don't know how to think for themselves like we do. Okay, we are independent thinkers. I can come out and say what the hell I want to say. And Obama can try and throw me because of his 3 or 7 or 3 or 4, whatever he just passed. He can throw me in bloody jail. I'll sit it out, you know. But to be honest with you, we've now empowered the radicals to be more in control because now they have more control over the masses.
Yes, I know.
We just shot ourselves terribly in the foot.
We shot ourselves
terribly
in the head.
In the
we shot ourselves in the head. This was the worst thing we could have done the way we've handled this at this point in time. And that's the reason why I'm asking this question, because it's even more pressing that there's an internal management happening within the Muslim community to do something about it. If you can
now
see
there
that.
Are pockets. There are pockets of groups that are doing something about it.
Good.
But for the most part,
yes,
they're so outnumbered and so outweighed that their voices will never be heard.
Right, exactly.
So,
and that's a big thing, because it's kind of like we conservatives. Right now, you know, the liberals have a bigger microphone. The
mm-hmm.
radical Muslims have a bigger microphone. And it's kind
mm-hmm.
of like, and this is something my husband just pointed out to me, is that even Christians have a certain element of jihad called the sword of the spirit in oneself.
Well, we can't forget the Knight Templars, can we?
It's not the same. Yeah, the Knights, the Knight Templars, and the Moors,
oh, right. the
and all of
that—that's
a whole other. That's a whole other ball game. Because
the Crusades all together.
That's a whole other ball game, and
right.
you know it is, because at this point in time, we're in a different place, and a group of people have basically said, no, we're
right.
not going to go with it, because they feel that they have an opportunity to seize control. That's the only reason why. And frankly, this is a lot of the same social justice stuff that's going on in the socialist movement that's going on with jihad.
And what
well,
happens
I'll tell you
is,
something.
Though,
we've got a socialist in the White House that has to go. If he doesn't
right.
go, I'm leaving this country.
Well,
really?
It's interesting. It's interesting
actually,
that you say
actually,
that.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because
I'm leaving this country again.
My doctor and I actually talked about that too. We were leaving the country, either that or we're going to have an all
I'm moving to Israel. I've already said it. I am
is
moving
that where
to
you're
Israel.
Going?
Yeah,
well, you're going right in the back
the
of it all, right?
Country.
Okay, fantastic. There goes jihad.
Yes. But see, that's just it. That's what my husband was trying to say with the Christian form of jihad is an internal measure of oneself versus the way that, like, the Knights Templar did it externally on others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it was wrong. It was translated incorrectly. It was also prosecuted incorrectly. It was persecuted incorrectly. And it is, you know, it was just taken out of context in the wrong interpretation. And that's kind of what's happening with the jihad of the Muslims. The extreme radicals of the Muslim faith, of the Islamic faith, are taking it to the context of externally putting it onto their enemies, which they consider are all Christians and all Jews.
Oh, call them infidels, right. One thing I would like you to consider is that the English language, or even the old Hebrew language, we had some tense to the language.
Mm-hmm.
Arabic has no tense to the language.
Yes,
it's
true. My husband knows that stuff specifically because he knows Arabic. He's an Arabic translator.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there is no literal translation. It's all tongue-in-cheek. And
he reads a lot of Arabic, and he can generally get the gist of everything that he reads.
Right, right. Well, it's generally used in the context in which you're talking on a topic about. So when we hear the literal translations of the surah and stuff like that, there's a lot lost in translation, and we as Americans are totally uneducated about this.
Right, of course, the educated.
Like I said, I took a world religions class.
The American is just stupid, I guess.
No, we're not stupid. We just don't understand it.
Well,
I hate to be called stupid, but
we might understand more than we're giving credit for, but because we just sometimes do, and we quite often do that with a lot of things. That's how America ended up being America in the first place. That's how we ended up with many of the things we've done.
Yep.
Is we understood
right.
things
see,
that
we're not
so,
stupid. No, nobody
you know.
In America is stupid.
I know that.
It's just
no.
It's
no,
just
no,
to
no,
the
no,
point
Billy,
of
Billy, take that back. There are some people in this country. Those are the ones you can't argue with because you can't argue with. Stupid.
Well, you know, to me, Bill Maher, I could call Bill Maher stupid, but he's smart in his own sense.
Everybody knows exactly what he's doing.
But the one thing I want to
word,
with the Knights Templar.
I have a word for this president. I call him the turd.
The what?
The turd.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw that in the room. You said something about a turd.
Oh, yeah, I probably did. Yeah, that's my. I never use his name because there's so much of, especially on Facebook, there's so much of investigative tools that have been put into place that the moment you mention his name, somebody's looking at your post or somebody's looking
at
your email.
Right, the LDC has them looking at it.
And especially with a Muslim name like mine? Hell yeah, I'll be the first to be picked up. But by the way, my father is Catholic. He's an Italian. We're all fifth generations, or sixth, if you count my son, sixth generations Kenyans.
Oh, wow.
And so...
And you're an American, right?
I'm an American. I've been here
for
28
years. That's what we are. We're American. Yes. We don't... I don't like it when they differentiate between us by culturism, because if you come to America, you come here to be an American, and that's what we are. No matter,
that's
you
right.
know, what we believe, we are still all... The bottom underlying this divisiveness that they're using the Alinsky tactics, and they're using the communist tactics to try to divide us as a nation so that they can take us down. But you know, if we got to refuse to let them do that, and I think we're
seeing
that.
I wanted to mention a quick difference with this thing because you brought up the Knights Templar in that era,
mm-hmm.
and the key thing is there was no Declaration of Independence then. There was no idea of us getting our unalienable rights from God. There
mm-hmm.
was no country that was declaring freedom and basically becoming the country that manifests the ideals of the Age of Enlightenment in a way that actually liberated people instead of thinking of them as subjects of something. And so it was a different time by far. And
but
so
if you look at that
now that
time.
now that we've reached this, the point is, we're trying to help others reach it too if they want to. If they don't, that's
but
fine.
They don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, if you had told the Knight Templars when they were around, if we had told the Knight Templars that we are going to be a republic based on values, on unalienable, God-given rights, do you think they would have understood us? I don't think so.
Right. In the time, they couldn't have understood it because of what they were in. They hadn't had a taste of freedom. They'd always known what it meant to be taken care of. They'd always known what it meant to take care of others. They'd always known what it meant to be a servant. So naturally, and I understand what you're saying, that's the parallel. But that's if we could be bridged for us, if we could surpass this and arrive where we are, that means anybody could. That means an opportunity
is
there.
I'd like to add to that. Whereas the West has encouraged cultural broadening of views, cultural horizons that have broadened with education. The Arab world hasn't had that education. Our thinking has progressed because we've learned more about science and we've learned more about this and more about the world and more about the universe and about the planet and global warming. Thank you, Al Gore. But the Arabs haven't. When they go to school, the first thing they read is the Quran. They don't read history. They don't read geography. Not till much later. But by then, they're already molded into that way of thinking.
But think about it. We're not learning what we're supposed to learn either. We go into a school, and they teach us that our founders were all just a bunch of slave masters who didn't care. They teach us, they teach us lies in the same way that people are teaching these other lies. What's that?
The curriculum, starting from LBJ, the curriculum has changed towards a very socialistic, progressive movement.
Right.
It changed even before that, but I agree with you.
Yeah, but it really started with the school reform during LBJ's time. And when I went to school, we had subjects like morals. We had a civics class.
Sure.
There is no semblance of that in our education today.
I agree.
Come on, how radical can we get when we can't fly an American flag? Please.
Right. Exactly.
That's radical all by itself.
Exactly, and you can't say the pledge of allegiance, that's just ridiculous in this country because that's the symbol of this country. It has been for, generations, and you're absolutely right there. It's just gotten ridiculous. But again, you guys,
our country has become diluted.
And this is actually in the communistic goals that was entered into the congressional record. They got to take away our patriotism. This is one way they have to undermine America. But fortunately, we in the middle Western, we have this cultural difference going on in New York and Los Angeles than what we've got going on, say, here where I'm at. I'm in Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're much more conservative-based. We're the city of churches here in Fort Wayne. So, I think these pundits don't get it because they're in New York or they're in Los Angeles and they're living among these people who think like they do and they don't understand the basic American out
the
here in all
the Well, that has changed over the period of time. The moment you become an elite, then you no longer care about the masses, which is what our Congress and our Senate and the presidency have become in the last decade. I really think it's time for us as American citizens to take to the road and tell these guys, you either get out or we'll throw you out.
I'm with you to this extent. Here's my thing. I know that there's solutions out there. I know there's things we can do, but I know that we haven't figured them out yet, and I can't. And when I tell people, it goes in one ear and out the other for the most part because it's beyond what people want to even believe because they don't want this engagement. They don't want self-government. They want to be able to sit on the couch, watch their sports, and not have to think about it and hope the government can take care of itself.
Well, do the nails
and
get the hair done, too.
What?
And do the nails and get the hair done, too.
Yeah, you got it. Exactly. Yeah. So what it really comes down to is there are ways that we could take care of this and take care of it right now, but we've chosen not to. I mean, right now, John Boehner can easily say, if enough of us were willing to write him, he could easily say that Obamacare wasn't passed legitimately and according to the Constitution and therefore is stricken from the congressional record. So could Eric Cantor, for that matter. Either one of them could do it.
Boehner,
and it's gone.
Boehner
they'll never do it.
I call him Boehner. Boehner has no backbone.
I call him Bonehead, so I'm right with you.
He has no backbone. We should have never passed the increase in credit limit in the ceiling. We should have never passed that. We should have shut the government down. I'll tell you why. Because the budget they agreed to, with the cuts of $500 billion over 10 years, which is peanuts, to begin with, those $500 billion actually came from a place where they had increased the budget by that amount, and then they said, okay, you know what, we'll reduce the budget by that amount, so they cut to $500 billion, so we're right back where we started.
Exactly, exactly. I'm right
with
you.
That's what they did.
And well, that's what Obama's been doing. He's trying to get us used to the current spending levels because that is the end of this country. Do you know, if you go to the debt clock, have you been looking at the derivative values? When Obama took office, those were around $494 trillion to $550 trillion, and they had started going below. Now they're at $795, $796 trillion. Right now, they've almost doubled, and guess what? That's since last year.
We're not even counting Medicare and Social Security in that.
Yeah, you know what that is? You know what this money is I'm talking about? This is the bank money. All these people and all these people that think that Obama is going to end the banks from doing the mortgage-backed securities and stuff, they just increased it by basically 25%. I mean, $800 trillion. That defaults. That's 15 times the gross domestic product of the world.
Let me ask you a question. The people who are printing this money and enabling our government is a private institution called the Fed, the Federal Reserve.
It's not an incorporated
company.
That's not the issue.
No, it is the issue. I'll tell you why.
When we have
people like Geithner, when we have people like what's his name who's running the Fed right now, I forget his name. I'm sure.
Bernanke.
Yes,
Bernanke.
Look at what they're telling us. They've been in front of congressional things, and whatever they're saying to us is how they're enabling Obama to spend the way he does. If there was no money, how would Obama be spending it?
Mohammed, make sure you go and look at this little link I gave you and take a look at that. I think you'll find this one of the most interesting things that nobody's told you about the Fed, that the Fed's profits are taken by the U.S. government every single year. That right there should tell you why they have the money. The government gets the royalties from the oil. You know, they say, the oil companies are getting these special breaks. The oil companies pay...
Yes, all oil is in U.S. dollars.
Oil companies pay between 10 and 30% royalties at the wellhead. And if a drop of oil spills, if a gallon, all that oil spill that they have in Louisiana, the 4 million gallons, believe it, or barrels... The BP has to still pay the royalty for the oil that leaked out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the U.S. government at its finest, okay, as a greedy little pig. And the reality of this stuff is, let's stop blaming everybody else. Let's realize that the government's the beast that's out of control. We just have to enforce the Constitution, and the rest of these things will take care of themselves because the Constitution doesn't provide for them.
I agree.
That's the end of the issue.
I agree, but you know, as Americans, we let this happen.
I'm with you.
Yes, we did. We were complacent in this.
You want to know what I call it? I call it naive. I call it naivete.
Yes.
Because I was naive enough to believe when, like, and I'll go back to Reagan, because I was in high school when he made the amnesty agreement with
the left.
But in that amnesty agreement, it insisted that we close our border.
And the left never would let it happen.
Or we defend our border. And it never happened because we believed it would, and it was part of law that it do happen, but it has never happened yet. Just like half of the spending that has taken place, it was all supposed to be cut back in Clinton's day.
Clinton and Newt did balance the budget.
Yes.
They balanced the budget with a surplus after they borrowed the money, though.
The borrowed money still led
to our debt. Our debt was still $5 trillion under
Clinton. Yeah, we still had debt.
Wait. We did have debt, but the fact is, for what we were spending in relationship to the money we take in and the money we spend, we were getting money out of it that we could use to pay debts or do something else.
You know why that was,
and that
though,
was something we had
to because. That was not because of high taxes, though.
No,
that was because of more people in the workforce.
Yeah,
that was because of all the people we had working that were paying taxes.
Now
we've got 6 million people, 6 million people still not working.
Okay,
and they're not counting them in the unemployment number. The unemployment number does not reflect those 6 million.
During Clinton's time, we had 22% manufacturing in this country. Today, our manufacturing GDP is down to 2%. Trust me on this. I read a lot. I'm an economist by profession. I'm an industrial psychologist. 22% of our manufacturing in Clinton's time compared to 2% today. And it has dropped 16% in the last 4.5 years.
Wow.
That's
okay,
that
guys, let me give you a quick update on Mississippi. We've got 86% reporting. Santorum still holding the edge at 33%, Newt at 32%, Romney at 30%. Paul at 4%. So,
go Newt.
See, the problem I see is that all those people who aren't working right now need to get working, and we would have income in our federal government, so to speak. But the fact is that those people who are there right now.
Let me ask you a straightforward. Economic question. When you talk about our guys need to get to work, when the banks, who've been bailed out with our money. You know what? We built the whole world out, okay? We just gave $600 billion dollars to Europe. Did we have it?
Yeah.
No, we didn't, okay? And now they're talking about another $600 billion, by the way.
Right.
In any event, if the government had just given $1 million to every household in this country, forget bailing everybody else, forget bailing the banks, forget bailing AIG, let them all crash.
Uh-huh.
Let them find their own levels, including the real estate market, where I took almost a $4 million hit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm wiped out between you and me. But if this government gave every citizen, or every household, I should say, we've got 340 million is our population. Okay? If we gave everybody a million, how much would that cost us?
Less than we owe in our debt. It's like $3.4 trillion.
You know, that would increase the GDP. We would have money coming in taxes. We've spent $1.9 trillion in bailouts so far.
But you can't, that's not the answer. The answer here in this whole conversation is Article 1, Section 8. If we got this government to follow Article 1, Section 8, 90% of our expenses would be gone. The money they take in, our government is taking in $90,000 a second and spending roughly $117,000 a second. At least that was last year. From this last month, they were spending
$88,000 in debt.
Pardon me?
Yeah, so
my grandson's already $78,000 in debt.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, but the fact is
$46,000 per person.
Yeah, but if we don't have the expense, that becomes money we use to pay the debt. And that money that's taken from the Fed is supposed to be used to pay the debt. The money I was just telling you that the Fed, the profits that are taken, those are supposed to be used to pay the debt under Title 12 through 90. But our government isn't following any of the rules. So it really boils down to that.
You want to know the biggest scam of all?
What's that?
And I saw it today when I was watching this show about a 100-year-old teacher. She had her 100th birthday today.
Yes.
She's been working all this time, paying into Social Security, right? Guess what? If she were, God forbid, to die tomorrow, every cent she's paid in for the last 50-some years that she's been a teacher, stays where?
In the government.
The government
goes to the government.
Keeps it.
Nobody
her
entitled
family
to it.
Gets a $255 check. $255 out of everything she's paid in. But all her money then is wasted on people who don't have such an initiative to work until they're 100 years old.
Okay,
talking about.
Forget initiative.
You know,
I mean, initiative is too far a word. How about illegal immigrants?
Oh, I agree with that one. Well, I have a plan. I have my own plan, and one of these politicians is going to take it up, and they're going to adopt it. Every illegal person in this country, they don't need to be at the federal level doing illegal immigration. They need to be at the local level.
Correct.
It has to be from the local level up.
It was supposed to
be. From the
bottom
up.
It was supposed to be.
And they need to monitor every illegal immigrant in their vicinity, and they need to get them out of our country, and they need to charge them a fine of $1,000 every day they're here. That would eliminate our debt.
That
would get them out of here.
And don't worry about the debt.
I mean, you need to incentivize them. They have
I agree.
Every...
Don't worry about the debt. I'm not worried about it. I just want them out of my country.
Well, yeah,
I want them to stop taking benefits on my tax dollar.
I've
got my own little plan, and my plan is simple. All we need is one of these politicians to say, look, the anyone who's here, who's not here legally, automatically can
never receive
citizenship.
And forget about that damn fence.
Can
it's
never
a damn militia down there.
Well, so now Texas just passes a rule that we don't need ID?
What?
No,
Texas
you
just
need,
passed
you
a rule
need,
that you don't
hey,
need ID
guys,
to vote?
You know about this ID to vote? You know, in 2008, it went to the Supreme Court because we have an ID voter ID registration here in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
It went to the Supreme Court, and it was ruled constitutional. So this, what Obama is doing is unconstitutional by denying these states the rights to have that voter ID.
It's with it. Right, they're using their... They're using the DOJ has
no,
jurisdiction over
just,
the southern
yep.
states.
I'm
yep.
just trying to point this out to people who
DOJ
may not know this.
Unmonitored, an unmonitored agency,
I was adding
pretty
to it.
Much. They're yeah. calling the shots. I mean, let's look at, you know how our internal threat from Iran, from the Middle East, from Al-Qaeda, coming through our southern borders, they're already
yes.
here.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. And what did he do? He loosened the regulations and pulled back our border guards out
well,
of there.
Thank you, Fast and Furious.
And that's why
yeah,
I
exactly.
say forget
exactly.
about the fence. Just take everybody who came back from Iraq and get them down there.
Well,
you know,
I still,
over the
like,
years, since,
like I was
since
saying,
during Reagan's time, and I will go back to Reagan's time, not before, when we opened
okay.
our doors to immigration, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, what we allowed to do was let en masse immigration take place. What we didn't do is scrutinize who was coming in, because, of course, we never knew about the threat. But what we never foresaw was that by letting so many immigrants in, we were actually diluting our culture. So, having said that, then you
exactly.
have the Muslims coming in, then you have the Chinese coming in, and then you have the Koreans coming in, and then you have the Russians coming. I mean, but look at all these countries. They're all stemmed in corruption. So what do you think they bring
right.
to our country when they come here?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you know what, Mahmoud? Mahmoud,
there,
I want to bring up something. Yeah, I think it's pronounced Mahmoud. Is that how it's
Mahmoud,
pronounced?
Mahmoud.
Mahmoud.
You can call
okay.
me Michael. My middle name is Michael.
This is
so
one
whatever.
Thing. This is one
here.
Thing. This
okay,
is one
sorry.
Thing. My husband pronounces it very well because,
Mahmoud.
Like I said, he knows Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, but what I want to get at is one of the big things with these people, the illegal immigrants that are here that are not even trying to become legal. They don't want to because they don't want to denounce the country they're from and take up loyalty to our country at the same time. And that's the part that's scary to me.
I have a medical center here in my neighborhood. I have a medical center here in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And because now I just got onto Medicaid because of my health issues.
It doesn't matter.
And, of course, the bankruptcy that I filed 2 years ago and being broke. But I paid into my system from the first day I was here. With it.
Right.
And the first day I was here, I was not legal myself. I just arrived here and applied for my green card, and I was accepted because I had the qualifications.
Exactly.
I had the money. I did it the legal way.
Right.
But from day one, 1984, I have been paying my taxes regularly.
Right.
Never scammed it. And I'm an accountant. I can fiddle numbers. But I never did it. I
tell
you what,
why are you for mine?
I built my building here in Totem Lake, Kirkland. It was my express order to my guys. I don't want to see a single Chinese nail on my walls. I paid 60 cents higher on the dollar for the same product made in America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, that said, I lost my train of thought. We were talking about... I got so involved with the building. I got so involved with it. It's such an emotional topic with me. I'm so sorry. So we were talking about the medical clinic. When I go there, every second person is an illegal. And I've got a very good friendship with the doctor there. She's from India, and I speak her language because of my mom. So I speak to her in a language, and I ask her questions, you know, political questions here and there. How does this work? Oh, what do you do with this? And how who pays for that? And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at the services I would have got as an illegal compared to being a citizen.
In California, you don't need a Social Security number to get a driver's license. If you're an American citizen, you have to give one. But if you're an illegal, you can walk right in the DMV, say you're an illegal, and get it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You want to talk about blatant abuse
yes.
of our Constitution.
Well, yeah. But see, this is why thing. The solution, as far as I see it, one of the, and I'm going to tell you why. First off, we tell them, look, if you're here illegally, you don't get citizenship. Why do we do that? To make all the ones who wanted it leave and try to use the regular process. The people that are still left here, obviously they're not here for the right reasons. Now we have people we can arrest, deport, whatever we want. In my view, I want to take the whole left. I want to set up a fund and hand people who want to believe in communism and want to believe in all of that too. I want to deport them. I want them so that they agree not to ever come here again, and we deport them to Cuba or to Hugo Chavez's country or whatever.
Okay, guys. Hey.
Wait,
I'm going to break in real quick. Fox News is now projecting Santorum will win Mississippi.
Oh, no. I was going to say,
I was watching it too, and it looked like it
Michael,
too.
Michael, Billy and I are Santorum fans, we're just for the conservatives.
But if you saw my post, I live with a new Santorum ticket either way.
I'm the same way.
They
both live in Virginia. Isn't that anti-constitutional?
They can't
come from the same state, can they?
I wouldn't be able to tell you. Do you know that?
What's that?
They both live in the same state, so they can't be president, vice president.
Why not?
Who? Wait. Who lives in the same
state? Newt and Santorum. They're both in Virginia.
I thought Newt was from Georgia.
No, Newt lives in Virginia now, but his home state was Georgia. I didn't know that Santorum
was in Virginia. Hasn't he registered as a Georgian Republican?
Constitutionally, they can't. Am I right, Toddy? Constitutionally, they can't be president, vice president.
I don't know off the top of my head. I haven't read that extensively. I mainly study the Congress because my thing has always been the Congress is where the power started.
Well, the Congress is the power. You know, the president isn't supposed to have as much power as what Barack Obama.
I'd rather have an illegal president who's a national born citizen than have an immigrant who's bluffed his way through. Okay.
What do you mean? Who are you talking
Whoever
about?
Whoever it is, I'm going to vote for him. I just
and
hope it's not
actually
Romney.
Is a citizen. His mother has documented that. His father was in the Army and he was a naturalized citizen before Rick Santorum was born. And his mother was.
Well, I read that.
So yes. So he is a citizen. And he's obviously loves this country. He loves this country, and that's what we need.
Oh,
and
no, he's passionate. He's passionate.
We need more than that, but that's a good start.
Well,
he's
you know
an
what?
Italian. What can I tell you?
It's not going to happen.
They're Italian.
Because they've got
I don't know if I trust Italians, really, but I trust Santorum.
Yeah,
actually,
well, he's an Italian.
Yeah.
I know.
I actually went to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and listened to one of his speeches there, because that's just a couple hours from my house here in Indiana. And his cousin was standing behind me, and he said, what you see is what you get. He said, he's the real deal. He said, the guys be out there at the family reunion, like drinking themselves all weekend and then going to mass on Sunday, but not Rick. Rick would be in there with his family.
But, Al Capone was an Italian, too.
Yeah, well,
so
the thing is, everybody's going to say good things who's at the rally. So again, my whole thing is there's a couple of details. I want to know he knows those details because Barack Obama, I guarantee you, is going to know those details in order to play a game. And if he doesn't know them, he's going to lie and know that his people will follow him anyway. We need a guy who's honest. He's not just honest, but honest and knows those details well enough to kick Obama's butt to the curb.
Well, Toddy, I got a good idea for you because I'll tell you something.
You're using it very mildly. Do you want me to go off?
right to the Santorum. Right to the Santorum, his election people, because guess what? They answer. Every time I've written to them, they answer.
Yeah, I haven't wrote them, but I can tell you this. I've hit all the candidates. If you ever looked at my timeline, you'd see I've hit Boehner. I hit Obama. I hit everybody, and I hit them a lot. I hit Daryl Issa. I mean, I go through my tweet limit almost every day when I'm on Twitter. Okay? So just to put it in perspective. And the only one that's ever responded to me candidate-wise has been Gingrich.
Oh, really?
You know, Nick, Newt
yeah.
has – you know, the reason I choose Newt, and I know we all have our favorites – but the whole idea is, at the end of the day, to beat Obama.
Yeah, but here's what I don't get. Okay, I got a tweet from somebody that says, at Rick Santorum, you can't run on Newt's record. You have to run on your own. You're not a conservative. These people obviously have done no research.
No. Well, how, what do you expect? I mean, what do you expect? All they're listening to is sound bites.
Yeah, that's
exactly
true.
And that's true.
Well, let's look at it, I mean, it's bigger.
You know what, Michael, I expect is what I did, what Billy and I both did after Herman Cain dropped out. I went everywhere, and I didn't fall for the little clip bites. If there was part of a video, I went and found the whole video so I could
Those are the same things
I've done even to Obama. I give him that much credit. I actually go and get
the
whole thing.
If you ever listen
to his energy skyrocket video, you'll be shocked to realize that that's Mao Zedong speaking in English. I mean, it's that simple. He is a pure communist through and through, and you can hear it in how he's describing what he's about. It's not just under my cap and trade, energy prices will skyrocket. He goes into the details of who will pay for it and why and how.
This man has divided our country more than it has been divided before the Civil War.
Actually, it's the whole. It's not
and
just
you
him.
You
want to
know
it's
what's
Pelosi
funny too?
And Reid and
I,
all these liberal candidates. It's not just Obama. It's the liberal culture in general because they badmouth us Christians. They call us racists and bigots, and they said we're the ones that are dividing because we're not.
Santorum won them both.
Yep.
Well, you know, our GOP didn't do their homework. They should have been prepared for this onslaught. They are just not prepared financially or with a message.
Well, they're busy dividing among themselves.
Yeah, but we tend to be naive.
They're good people. They're working people.
The internet was the greatest invention, and Al Gore didn't invent it.
I was just going to give credit for that. Like I give credit for global warming.
Because of social media, we are able to do our own research.
Yeah.
And that's what's really got the media boggled. They want to be able to say, do what we tell you.
Yeah.
Do what we say, and what we say is true.
And Mitt Romney would be our nominee. I must appreciate
The reporting from where I come from, I grew up in England for the most part. And the
BBC?
BBC is a little biased at this point in time, I think. But when we look at Reuters or we look at the Associated Press, there is no opinion there.
They're just reporting the facts.
They're leaving the opinion to ourselves. Whereas our media in the U.S., thank you, Murdoch, who started the whole damn thing, who owns Fox, by the way.
I love Rupert Murdoch. I think he's awesome.
Well, you know, you do know that George Soros owns 30% of the media, right?
He does, which is why we're outnumbered.
Yeah.
And see, George Soros himself is a modern-day Hitler of the world, not just Germany.
Well, look at what he did to Europe, that's how I see it.
He was a Jew who denounced his faith, and he now has a war. But he has this, I want to call it a currency war, because all he wants to do is devalue everybody's currency.
Well, what did he do to
England?
Remember, back in when Margaret Thatcher was in power, she was just giving up power to Tony Blair. By the way, Tony Blair is a very well-known figure in our house. My cousin, his name is Anmol, he and Tony Blair bunked together in Oxford. And Tony Blair actually wrote an article on my cousin to say that he influenced my politics. But that aside, when Soros, he brought the British government down to its knees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, he did.
And he's doing exactly the same maneuver
here. And but he's going to meet a little more resistance here, I believe.
But he's got more resistance.
Well, I tell you, I'm locked and cocked. Let the bastard come along.
Yeah, I think there's especially like Billy said, with the internet and the media we have, and we've been able to connect. Herman Cain connected a lot of us, you know, with his grassroots campaign, which has been great because you've got a lot of people now motivated to get involved in the election. You know, I don't get to vote till May, so I never had a choice because, you know, it was just me out here, and I didn't agree with what's going on, but what was I going to do about it? And this has given us certainly that that ability to actually try to make a say and have a say, and it's been really, really exciting. We got about 6 minutes left here in our broadcast tonight. I just want to remind everybody we have Conservative Nation radio shows going on almost every night. On Monday nights, we have our young guys, our Sons of Liberty.
College students from South Carolina.
Yes, and they're on at 8 p.m., and I think these are Central Standard Times. Tuesday nights, actually, we have Women Patriots, and recently we've been doing more election coverage than anything because this happens to be the night all the elections fall on. On Friday nights, we have No Abomination with your own, listening to her now, Billy Cotter, comes on
yep.
at 7 p.m. on Friday. We have Soldiers of Patriotism, Santorum Soldiers of Patriotism, comes on at 3 p.m. on Sundays with Michael B. Smith. So we do want to remind you to turn into those when you can. Hey, guys, I really appreciate your calling in. It has some really unique perspectives. I love that. I love it when we can share and we can all learn from each other. And we all know we're on the same side here together. So I'm just going to play a song to take us on out. And all I can say was good night for Santorum. Woo-hoo. Bad night for getting third. Yay. So that's a good point. So, all right, guys, have a good one, and we'll see. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, wow,
well, thanks
Matt,
for accepting
I
my call.
Needed to
thanks, everybody. Oh, thank you for calling in.
I got my car one day. It just started heading south. I didn't know where I was going. I just stopped and picked up an Atlas so I wouldn't get lost, but I didn't go back to my hometown, but I went in that direction and through a lot of old areas that I'd traveled through, I guess in search of something, in search of a simpler time in my life or whatever. But I went through a lot of small towns that reminded me of where I was raised and places I'd come from. And it was sad because
nostalgic, isn't it?
I realized how much they changed since I'd been back.
Great songwriter, I hope you know, in country.
A lot of
I'm a country girl.
Because
so.
A lot of them seemed dried up. You know, it was like a lot of the small town businesses.
Aren't we
all
at heart?
And the independence of some of the people who had actually built those towns because of that. They were having trouble staying alive, staying in business because of all the big change coming in, everything that takes over these days. And I think it's a very colorful and important part of American history, and I hate to see it going away, and I hope it doesn't. And I just wanted to write this song about it, and we made this video in an attempt to recapture some of those scenes and feelings that inspired the song about the little man.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows. Things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty except an old Coke sign dated 1950. Poured it up like they never existed. Renovated and called historic distance. There goes the little man. There goes the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down. Little man. He pumped your gas and he'd clean your glass. One cold rainy night he fixed your flat. A new store came where you do it yourself. You buy a lotto ticket and food off the shelf. Forget the little man. Forget about that little man. He hung on there for a few more years. He couldn't sell Slurpees. He wouldn't sell beer. Now the bank rents a station to a man down the road, and they sell Velvet Elvis secondhand clothes. There goes the little man. There goes another little man. Now the court squares, just a set of streets. And people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. Concrete strip, you can buy the whole world in just one trip. You save a penny cause it's jumbo size. They don't even realize they're killing the little man. All the little man. And now the court squares just a set of streets. And people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. It wasn't long ago when I was a child, an old black man came on his mule and his plow. He broke the ground where we grew our garden back before we'd all forgotten about the little man.